Welcome to a Friday. I have to admit, this is one of my favorite songs. Dexy's Midnight Runners.
Come on, Eileen. A classic.
Yeah.
A classic song. I want to warn everybody, because of the ongoing rain showers, today's show may end in a tie, which rarely happens in radio, but today may be that day. You saw that happen with the Cubs and the Pirates last night,
no.
Huh? The Cubs and the Pirates game ended after six innings in a tie, which, you know, most guys, I'm like a baseball fanatic, and as it happened, I'm like, I don't think that can happen.
Did they all get a trophy then?
Everybody gets a trophy. And at the banquet, they can eat as many chicken tenders as they want, which is a nice bonus, nice perk.
So, obviously, they couldn't continue because it was raining.
There was a torrential downpour in Pittsburgh, and the game really, my wife would argue that no game means anything, but last night's game meant nothing. The Cubs have everything sewn up. They've got the best record in baseball, no matter what happens. The Pirates are going to be in third place. They're not vying for a wild card spot anymore.
So they just left it as a
tie.
Now, in the real world of baseball, they couldn't have, right? They would have made it up at some point.
If this would have happened in July or August, it probably would have.
They would have found a way to replay the game, maybe. Yeah, very few games ended a tie. I think this is the first one since, did they say 2005?
2005,
right?
Yeah.
If it meant a little something in the standings, definitely they would have. And I think, Ryan, that the Marlins game from Sunday, that's the day they found out that Jose Fernandez died, I don't think that game's going to be made up because that game is going to end up meaning nothing virtually as well.
Yeah, have the Marlins been officially eliminated at this point?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, probably not.
But so, had they not been, they would have had
to. They probably would have played Monday, right?
Yeah.
And do they just make it up? I mean, they don't do the whole game over. They would just continue a tie inning it was in, correct?
It depends on where they are in the game. So this game, last night's game was in the sixth, so they would have picked it up right where they left off.
Because at that point, it was an official game.
Right, right. So a very rare thing in baseball. On a season where we've seen a lot of unusual things, especially for the Cubs, just another one thrown on the pile.
That's pretty cool. Some weird things going on with the Cubs and in the political field.
Yes. Did you notice that?
Great transition. I love that right there.
Well, it is. It's just,
they don't teach that at broadcast school.
No, they don't, although I could teach a class.
If somebody said a few years ago, I bet there'll be a time where the Cubs are the odds-on favorite to win the World Series and probably Donald Trump will have a chance at the White House, you'd go,
I'd shove you and go, get out.
Right.
There's no way.
You need your medication changed, somebody would say, right? Because none of those things are going to happen, but here we are.
Huh. And some strange endorsements I heard this morning as well.
The Tribune has decided that Gary Johnson, Gary, I can't name any world leaders, can you, Johnson, is going to be your best option for president. I wish I had sat in on that meeting. Was that an open meeting?
I know. I really can't understand that.
But isn't it indicative of the fact that most of us are walking around going, I'm not thrilled with the choices. I don't like him. I don't like her. I don't like that guy. I don't like that girl. That's kind of indicative of what's going on. Even the paper's way of saying that is by endorsing Gary Johnson. I don't know. I'd have to look this up, and I probably should have. I don't know that the Tribune has ever endorsed a third-party candidate.
I don't think anybody has.
Anybody of any...
Publication-wise.
Yeah,
Mother Jones or whatever.
That's who I was thinking of, too.
Is that the name of it?
Right, right. Model Railroader a couple years ago said Shirley Chisholm is the way to go. So maybe it's happened in the past. But yeah, that was a little bit of a surprise.
Well, the Tribune, according to the Chicago Tribune, which I'm reading from the Tribune website, the Republicans have nominated Donald Trump, a man not fit to be president of the United States. The Democrats have nominated Hillary Clinton, who by contrast is undeniably capable of leading the United States.
Oh.
So...
those words, when you stop and think about just those words, not fit to, like I remember when I was growing up, if somebody said to a mom in the neighborhood, you are not fit to be a mother, that was like
the
worst thing you could say to somebody. So to hear those words, you, sir or madam, are not fit to be the president of the United States, and it's been thrown around on both sides.
Yes.
Think about how cutting that is.
But still, I mean, we talked about this yesterday. Libertarian Gary Johnson, let me just say, the Chicago Tribune today endorses Libertarian Gary Johnson for president of the United States. Every American who casts a vote for him is standing for principles and can be proud of that vote. Yes, proud of a candidate in 2016.
That's interesting.
It's totally interesting to me.
Yeah.
I have met more and more people who are telling me they're not voting.
That seems to be going around a little bit.
That we have the right to vote. You have to pick one.
But you also have the right to not vote.
I guess, but...
There are two decisions that are made on election day. Number one is if you're going to get up and go vote, and then the second one is who you're going to vote for.
Right.
Everyone thinks that it's just one person or another, but there are two decisions you make that day.
Do you remember when we were kids? And Ryan, you're a year younger than Wendy and I am, so maybe this is different for you.
God, we're young.
But you'd always hear somebody jokingly go, you know what I'm going to do is just go in there and vote for Charlie Brown, or I'm going to vote for Mickey Mouse. And everybody would laugh and go, oh, that would be funny. But now people are going, you know, I know they're animated figures, but they're far more qualified than the people who are running.
They are fit to be president.
they are fit to be president. Good grief.
I don't know if I should take this call, but you know what? We don't filter things around here. So, Kathy, good morning to you.
Good morning. I just got off the phone with the Chicago Tribune. I'm a little nervous because I've never called a paper in my life.
Oh, you're nervous about them? Why did you call them? What happened?
I called them to cancel my subscription.
Oh.
I have been paying for my print subscription, my mother's print subscription for years. I can't believe they endorsed Gary Johnson. This is so irresponsible. And the woman I spoke with said, well, have they always endorsed the candidate that you like? And I said, no. I don't agree with everything they say, but I read them.
Yeah.
This is insane. I thought it was a joke.
You do what you want, of course. I wouldn't cancel my subscription over something like this, but it is a curious decision that they've made.
It really is.
Yeah.
How do I express my anger and disgust?
I think
otherwise?
Just a letter or a phone call, just saying I'm not sure you've fully thought this out.
Well, I did. Yeah. I have to say the woman I spoke with was very nice and let me vent, but I cannot imagine what they were thinking.
Well, you know, everybody has a different say-so in the candidates this year, but if you still enjoy the Tribune, again, like Bill, I don't know that I'd cancel, but I would say,
yeah.
I'd call them and go, what?
Well, I did, but I mean, this is a vote for Trump. They know that. They read all the things that we are privy to, all the things you've been talking about
sure.
this week.
Yeah. I wonder if this decision was made prior to Gary Johnson not being able to name a world leader that he admired. Because don't you think that for anybody who was on the fence about him, they went, oh, man.
I bet it was after because nobody knew who he was before this.
And they had to get this out now because early voting has begun now.
As of yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I did ask, and of course the poor woman taking these calls didn't know that, but... Hmm. I'm really disappointed.
That's understandable, Kathy, but seriously, reconsider on canceling your subscription. And I don't say that just because it's the Tribune. I would tell you the same thing if it was the Sun-Times.
I know. I support print newspapers.
Good.
That's why I subscribe. So
I hope so. There's a lot of good people there. All right. Well,
well
Kathy, thank you.
Strap in. It's going to be
welcome.
A bumpy ride.
Oh, no kidding. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Kathy.
It is. All right, more people on the line who would like to get their thoughts out. We'd love to hear from you. We're at 312-981-7200. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll get to you next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We were talking about the Chicago Tribune has endorsed Gary Johnson, Libertarian Gary Johnson, as their candidate of choice. And we were also talking about, I have run into so many people who have just said, not voting this
right.
year.
Yep.
And I thought, you know what? That's your right. You have to. Ryan pointed out it's your right not to vote, and George wants to jump in on this. Hi, George.
Hey, how you guys doing? I'm an election judge, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You do not have to vote for every candidate. You don't like the Trump, you don't like Hillary, don't vote for him. But, God, we got senators, we got congressmen, we got local candidates running. Those are the people that need your vote, too.
Yeah, and, don't sit it out just if one race is bothering you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That makes a good point, because when people say they're not voting, in my opinion, that means they're not even going to the polls.
Right, exactly. And that's going to hurt so many local people. I mean, I live in Joliet, and I got people ringing my doorbell left and right, and that's fine. You're coming out, you're telling me what your policies are, what your ideas are. you're the people that I that are going to really these people. Yeah, the president does a lot, but if you've got a Republican president, Democratic Congress, Senate, it don't matter. You know, there's going to be push and shove, but these are the local people that are helping you, that are trying to work for you.
George,
you know, support them.
Absolutely, we're in agreement. Thank you so much. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, I know. I'm just fine. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Very much.
He's right, though.
I know he's right. Yesterday, what they call early voting started, and I don't know if is everyone. Forgive me for not knowing this. I don't know this. Is everyone eligible? If you're a registered voter, can you go in as of yesterday and just cast your vote? Ryan, do you know the answer to that?
I'm sorry. One more time.
With what they call early voting, they should just call it voting, but they call it early voting. That began yesterday. Is everyone eligible for that, or do you have to?
Yeah, no, everyone's eligible, very select locations. Right now, if you want to do it, the city of Chicago is doing theirs at 69 West Washington. You can go in if you're a resident of the city of Chicago. Interestingly enough, I did not see the Cook County office open for voting. Hmm. So you've got to go to the State Board of Elections website. They're going to kind of roll these out as the month goes on of October. There are going to be some spots that open up October 10th, as well as October 24th throughout Cook County, throughout the suburbs. And then, of course, if you're in Will County, you know, Grundy County, you need to kind of look up and see, look up where and what times those will be open.
And
so
this
voting, a soft rollout is what it was called.
That's what
yesterday.
They call it, the business. Yeah. And is this voting for all races? It's not just for the presidential race. It's for anything that's coming up in November. You can start.
Correct.
Can
and yesterday I spoke with some people. I went out there and talked to some people, and I said, you know, we're still 40 days out. Are you sure nothing's going to change your mind in any of these races? And the people said, no, it's not. A lot of them, some of them are going on vacation. They're not going to be in town when the election happens. Others say they wanted to get it out of the way to avoid lines. They just want to have it done. One woman told me that she does it early because she doesn't want people to, she would like to be one less person in line when other people walk up because she doesn't want to discourage them from going. Because some people might walk up, see long lines and say, nuts to this, I'm getting out of here. So that was her reason is she wants to get it out of the way so other people can go vote.
According to the website, elections.illinois.gov, where is it? Election authorities in each county in the state have announced the locations of early voting centers that will be open through November 7th. So it's not, you can do it at any time, mm-hmm. but it's not like you go to your local polling place. You have to find the office that's open in your area. And I'm thinking that might be a good idea if you're already decided, because I'll bet you there's going to be a lot of fighting going on.
Oh, maybe. On election day?
Yes.
Now, Ryan, with the news business being as competitive as it is, are any news sources already projecting a winner? I'm flipping through the cable channels
MSNBC
now to see.
MSNBC and Fox News.
Are they both
be,
picking a winner already? No. How about that?
You know, it's interesting, guys. As compelling as the Chicago Tribune endorsement is, did you guys see what USA Today did last night?
No, what did they do?
They have never endorsed a candidate before. 34 years, and essentially they unleashed on Donald Trump yesterday, calling him unfit as well, saying that while they don't agree that Hillary Clinton should be the choice, they laid out probably about a dozen, maybe 20 cases against Donald Trump as being unfit to be president. So that kind of took a lot of people back. Now, USA Today also ran an op-ed piece from Governor Mike Pence defending Trump at the same time, but still it kind of just shows you how wacky this election cycle is, that something that's never happened before is happening quite frequently, it seems like.
Ryan, because it's USA Today, did they include a pie chart?
No.
They did not?
No.
Ross Perot is disappointed.
It was on everybody's, it was in front of everyone's door at hotel rooms across the country this morning, right?
Check the charts and graphs. Ross Perot. I miss him.
I got to check and see if anyone endorsed him back in, what would that have been, 92?
92, right? Yeah.
I'm writing him in. I'm going to call him and beg him to run.
We should have him on. Want to get him?
Yeah.
Let's get him. I would love to talk to him.
Well, yeah.
Pie charts don't work on radio as well.
No, I know.
You want a bet?
All right, let's do this. We'll take a break. Ryan with the news and then a lot more show. So stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. There's some music anyway.
I want some music. You know why, Bill?
Because you love to dance.
So does TJ. Citizens, TJ is back, and by overwhelming demand, there's a second show that's been added. Limited tickets remain to see the return of Thomas Jefferson, presented by Conasec and Dillon, trial attorneys on Saturday, November 5th at 1 p.m. at the MAC at the College of DuPage.
Join WGN Radio, that's us, and John Williams, that's someone else, in a unique live stage show featuring founding father and third president Thomas Jefferson. The kids call him TJ. That's his rapper name. Hear insights from TJ on what might be in store for us in the next chapter of America's history right before the election. You'll also get a chance to ask your own questions as well.
And limited tickets remain for the 1 p.m. show, right, John Williams?
There's like, I know there's less than 100. There's about 50 or... I don't know. They said 67 tickets a few days ago. So,
well, get them now.
An endorsement. I think tickets are really going to start flying.
All right. Well, here's how you get them: online at wgnradio.com/events, or call the MAC box office 630-942-4000. And may I just say, the return of Thomas Jefferson is presented by Conasec and Dillon trial attorneys and sponsored by Visit Springfield Transportation, provided courtesy of O'Hare Midway Limousine.
How are you, John?
Thanks for saying all that. I'm good. Hi, Bill. How are you?
I'm excellent. That's nice of you to ask. This is exciting. They did a show. The show sold out. So you guys said we should add a second show, and then you did.
Yeah, they did. And I was shocked. I said, I don't know if we can fill a second house. And then, we just pert near halves.
Can you do that impression of yourself one more time, John? I've never heard anyone do an impression of you. That was interesting. Could you do it one more time?
Because I said, I don't know if we can really do this, but son of a gun, we sold more seats.
That's a pretty good impression.
It was great. You know why I think this is, John? Because no one knows who to vote for, and we want to check out Thomas Jefferson, or TJ as we like to call him, and perhaps we'll write him in.
You know, that was the idea, because this guy that does Jefferson, he walks on stage, I talk to him for a while, then we take questions from the audience. He's really, really compelling. He also does a Roosevelt show that we've done, and that one's more hilarious and bombastic and rollicking. But we thought, when we planned this, like last year, we said, well, let's do a Jefferson show before the election, because maybe things, people will be a little tense, they'll be anxious, and it'll be good to sort of kind of get rooted again about what it means to be an American and what our founding fathers would say about, I don't know, turning in your tax records or turning in your health records. You know, I wonder what Thomas Jefferson would say about that. So we'll ask him these things. And the timing turned out to be pretty good.
Speaking of the election, not TJ, but GJ, Gary Johnson got an endorsement from the Tribune today. Is that a little bit of a surprise to you?
I'm embarrassed for the Tribune.
Yeah.
That woman that called in a little while ago, and I thought you guys just handled her so well, because that was my first instinct, too. I thought, screw it, I'm not going to send them my money anymore. And then I thought, no, I really do love the Tribune, the staff, and the news.
Yeah.
That's what they do. So I'm just mad at their editorial board. I don't know what they were thinking. Donald Trump is a monster, and that's why you don't want him to be president. So you're not going to endorse him, and then you're going to endorse Gary Aleppo. But that's not going to really help Hillary Clinton. The reason you're not endorsing Trump is because he's this terrible guy. Well, the only way to maybe keep him out of the White House is to put Hillary Clinton in there. Gary Johnson's not going to win. And if that's burying your sword, if you're the Tribune in your fight against this monster, Donald Trump, I don't know what they were thinking.
Because, yes, a vote for Gary Johnson is probably a vote for Donald Trump.
I suppose. I mean, really, just be practical about it. I know that they said that, you know, no vote is wasted, blah, blah, blah. But will they feel good about all of those votes for Gary Johnson if Donald Trump is the president for 4 years? I wish that Hillary Clinton hadn't run, but I think now it's just, let's get practical. She would be a competent and uninspiring president, but I mean, she wouldn't be up all night tweeting about non-existent sex tapes from former Miss Universes.
And can I just say...
That's what Trump did last night.
Yeah, he was very busy tweeting, saying, you know, Hillary, you should have vetted out this woman because she's disgusting. She's done a sex tape. I got to be honest with you. I don't care that she did a sex tape. I'm not watching it. And it was on like a version of their Big Brother. So
aren't there pictures of Donald Trump's current wife in compromising positions from earlier in her career?
Oh,
there
yeah.
are, right?
You can
listen
see
to us. I know. And by the way, Snopes said, I mean, I haven't seen the tape, but my understanding is there is a sex tape that she wasn't in, but they said that's her. Then there was another racy scene she did in some Mexican show, but it wasn't what Donald Trump is describing. And why is he even bringing it up?
And who cares that what she did? Seriously, who cares? Look at where Kim Kardashian is today because of that.
Mm. Look where John Williams is today.
I know.
Look where he is.
And so then there was Gary Johnson on using the expression Aleppo moment when Chris Matthews asked him, well, just name another world leader that you like, somebody that inspires you. And he goes, wow, I'm having another Aleppo moment. And I'm thinking, you don't get that many of these, you know? And, I mean, is that the guy the Tribune really wants to be president, or do they just hate Hillary that much?
John, we played that yesterday. We played the audio of that, of Chris Matthews saying, just give me one world leader that you admire, and he couldn't do it. So did the Tribune's editorial board make that decision after hearing that? Because that's really suspect.
I'm wondering, the people that vote early, and then something like this happens, and they go, oh, crap, I'm going to run back down to the office and they can pull my thing. Because I don't think you get to unvote, and you don't get any do-overs when you cast an early ballot.
Although, I'll tell you, the Aleppo moment and this thing with Chris Matthews on Hardball has made Gary Johnson more of a household name, because more people prior to his mistakes were saying, who's Gary Johnson? Now at least he's in the news.
Yeah, well, for all the wrong reasons, though, right?
That's what we do in America. We fail up, it appears.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the video of him sticking his tongue out on TV the other day?
Steve was telling us. Steve Bertrand was explaining that to us yesterday. I hadn't seen it, but that's pretty funny, too. It's not supposed to be funny, but it is funny.
It was. I like these independent candidates, and I like third-party candidates, and I've liked him until the Aleppo moment, and then I thought, oh, I've had a lot of those. I have Aleppo moments every day, but I'm not running for president. But now I find myself getting hostile if I think that the traction he's getting for being this likable screw-up is actually going to put Donald Trump in the White House.
John, can I ask you something even more touchy than this?
What?
Is it about his sex tape?
No, I don't want to know about that. You live in a town with a football team and an NFL team that's 3-0. What is that like?
It feels pretty good.
I bet it does.
We wouldn't know.
Our baseball team has lost the exact same number of games as the Cubs have won.
Right.
So we got that. That was our summer, but we're having a good fall, I'll say that.
They really look good. I mean, they really do look good. And
it's funny you bring that up, though, because the only thing that they really want, the Vikings, they've got this great defense. You know, all their marquee players have gone down. The next guys have been stepping up and doing well. But what they really want is Bobby Gould. They want the old Bears field goal kicker.
Yeah. That could happen.
Been missing extra points and stuff like that. So, kind of weird.
Getting back to Thomas Jefferson, I'm just curious.
Oh, yeah, right. Thank you.
No, that's all right. It's always awesome to talk to you, John, so really it doesn't matter. But I have a question. Who do you think Thomas Jefferson would endorse, or are you going to make people wait when they see it live?
Yeah, well, I can't speak for him, and he'll answer that question on stage. I know someone will ask, and if they don't, I'll bring it up. But here's the deal. He acts and talks a lot more like a Republican than you might think. If you have this image of Donald Trump, of Thomas Jefferson as, you know, all men are created equal and let's help the disenfranchised, et cetera, et cetera. You know, he was for guns. He wasn't for, you know, back then when he said all men are created equal, the vote was only for white men of property. You know, you had to not only be a white male to vote, but you had to have a certain amount of money. Otherwise, you didn't even get to vote. So that was Donald Trump's America. I got to stop saying that, don't I?
Yes. Yeah,
that was Thomas Jefferson's America. So it's really interesting when we try and plug him in. He surprises us all the time, Wendy.
All right. Well, that's good to know. It's hard not to say Donald Trump's name. Listen, I can't stand politics. Bill, you know that. I hate talking about politics. But that's all that anyone is talking about right now with this crazy election year.
Yeah, I know. Every now and then, I said this on my show the other day. I said, I'm looking for other stuff, folks. I picked up like the life section of the USA Today. I was looking for pie charts I could work with. And, you know, then there was the thing about Lester Holt. How's he holding up? And I thought, oh, God, I can't get away from
this. Right. It's everywhere. I'm sure somebody has asked Thomas Jefferson this already, John, or they certainly will during one or two of the shows. But not only would he maybe have to think about who he would endorse, but the mere idea of a woman being the president of the United States at some point was probably so foreign to the men back then. I can't imagine what it would do to him, you know?
Well, that's what somebody asked him in one of the recent shows we did. They said, how do you feel about a woman running for president? And he says, well, I'm still trying to get over a black being president right now. So give me a minute here. And that's what we do, by the way, on the stage. So I'll ask him a little bit about, you know, what was it like to write All Men Are Created Equal? And what was, the Revolutionary War like? And, you know, some history. But then it very quickly becomes, okay, what about early voting? What about, you know, Hillary Clinton? What about stuff like that? But it's not real partisan either. If you're a Republican, you will enjoy this show. If you're a Democrat, you'll enjoy this show because everybody comes away feeling better about being an American, you know, and what our core values are.
What's wrong with that?
Well,
we need this show. We need this show.
We need to get people to get tickets because there are only under 100 tickets left. Get your tickets now. Here's how you do it. WGNradio.com/events. You can call the Mac box office. That's at College of DuPage. Here's the number, 630-942-4000. This is the second show, and November 5th, is that when it's happening at 1 p.m.?
Yep, and there will be no third show. So thank you for the plug on that. And if you want to go, and, you know, this is an historic year, obviously. I think it'd be pretty cool if you remembered the year you voted, 2016. Just before, you had this little primer. You went and just kind of got recentered by hearing what Thomas Jefferson has to say.
John, thanks so much. Great talking to you.
Well, thanks for the time, guys. You
Absolutely.
Know, the other shows really don't put me on much, but you guys do. So clearly you have programming issues.
We're not embarrassed to admit that.
thanks,
John.
Bye now.
Have a
Thank
good
you.
Weekend.
That's John Williams. You can hear him Saturdays here on WGN. I like that guy
much. He's great. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then there's more show coming your way next. Bill and Wendy, WGN. At some point today, I need to explain. At the beginning of the show yesterday, I had a run-in with Tommy Lasorda.
Not intentionally.
A non-intentional run. I upset Tommy Lasorda, one of the legends of baseball, one of the greatest managers in the history of the game. I upset him greatly, and I didn't understand why, because it all happened very, very fast. And then, you know Dave Ennett. You've met Dave Ennett. You don't
know
Dave?
He's really great.
Dave is our sports director here at WGN Radio. Dave explained to me what happened prior to Tommy Lasorda and my meeting yesterday morning that may have agitated him, and it all makes sense. We don't have time right this minute, but at some point today I will explain why I upset one of the greatest minds in baseball history yesterday.
Can we also call Tom Dreesen back while in the shower?
Yeah.
Because that was the highlight of my day yesterday. Did you hear the acoustics going on
perfect.
In there? And then all of a sudden he kind of stepped out because it wasn't so echoey anymore.
Yeah, it was perfect. I would like to have a thing where every guest we have on the show we talk to while they're in the shower. I think that's better for everybody, don't you?
Yeah.
I like that.
Let's do it.
It's far better. All right, so believe me, before the day is over, I'll explain why I upset one of the greatest minds that baseball's ever seen, Tommy Lasorda. Didn't mean to do it, but I upset him.
Andrea was yelling at you going, why did you do it?
I know.
And I'm like, he didn't mean to.
I didn't mean to. It happened, but I did not mean to. So I'll explain that in a little while. And then there's a lot more show coming up right after the news. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Blackhawks Hockey on 720 WGN.
Kurt Wagner is here from TVshowpatrol.com. You may not recognize him because he is sporting a mustache.
Yes.
Look at you, Kurt.
It is my 70s, my ode to the 70s porn.
That's what it looks like, the porno stash.
You look like if a young Walt Disney had decided to do adult films, that's what you look like. And I mean,
except I have clothes on, everyone.
Right.
Where do you think you got the name Goofy from?
I didn't think about that. Well, last week you came in and you had a beard, and today a mustache, and who knows what'll happen next week?
Who knows?
Anything can happen.
Yes.
I think my mustache is actually thicker than yours.
Well, it's just because it's gray. You can't see.
Okay. Put some dark mascara on it.
That's not nice. Was it? Remember John Waters, the filmmaker John Waters, the director, used to paint on a mustache.
Yeah.
He didn't have an actual mustache. He would paint one
on. Like women did with eyebrows in the 50s. They used to shave them all off and then, you know, just put it on. He did the same thing with his...
Would they shave them off, really?
Some of them did.
Oh, wow.
You know who else did that? Groucho Marx in several of the movies. It was like shoe polish that he used for a mustache. So this isn't unprecedented. I like it, Kurt. I think it looks great.
It's all right.
You look younger.
I think it's fun.
3 days younger.
Even though it's
3 days.
It's not a lot.
And 2 days ago when it was not as thick.
Right.
Even though it's not very thick.
Right.
I looked 5 days younger.
Oh, yeah? Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. All right. The new television season is well upon us. Several new shows have already debuted.
Goldbergs.
Several more are about to. Wendy loves the Goldbergs.
I just love that show.
Loves it.
Woo!
I'm like Bevy. I swear.
A mom on that show?
Yeah.
Do you wear
hideous clothes,
workout pants and little suits like
her clothes are just killing me in that. And Jeff Garland, of course, is fantastic. Love that show.
Speaking of the 70s, is that set in the 70s or 80s? That's 80s.
It's supposed to be 80s, but there are some lapses in judgment.
Oh, are there? They time
once in
jump
a while,
a little bit
yeah.
sometimes. I already mentioned this to you last week, but I saw the second episode last night, and it's one of those rare instances where the second episode was actually more compelling, I thought, than the first episode, and that's Designated Survivor with Kiefer Sutherland playing the president after all the big officials go down
his character was the HUD director.
Yeah.
Housing and Urban Development director. And he was 11th in line of succession.
Right.
And everybody else was...
They perish in a terrorist act. Now, I thought... I'll watch the first episode, and you'll get all the action of this terrorist episode... And then it'll kind of waver after that. But last night's episode, the second one, I thought was far better than the first one.
Yeah, I thought it built really well.
Are they doing it in waves? It's not like just this apocalyptic thing where all the people are killed off.
Well, they show. I don't want to give
I guess
too much
you know,
away, but
yeah.
they show what the aftermath is, and it's very.
So now they're investigating. The FBI is investigating the act, and he's feeling pressure from. Like this general who's just...
He wants war on somebody immediately.
Crazy wanting to bomb somebody. And they're everyone's sort of quick to jump to conclusions of who may have done it. And the president, the new president, Kiefer Sutherland, his character, you know, he's a little more cautious. But everybody thinks that's weakness, that he's showing weakness when he does that. But he's not actually. He's just very... When he makes the decision, he's very... strong-willed in the decision that he wants to.
Right.
But he's methodical in getting there.
But
he's
he wants to make sure. Like the guy
I gotta
said,
watch this.
We're 70%, 75% sure it was these people. And he says, well, I can't do this on 75%.
Yeah.
And they said, well, how much more? How big of a percentage do you need? And he said, 25 more.
Look at him.
Yeah.
100 or nothing.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
But no, it's really compelling, and it does a nice job of sort of jumping from his situation where all these people, and it's so funny too because it shows a lot of human nature, all these people sort of jockeying to be the chief of staff and to get on in his good graces and everything, and you got that senator who seems like she's really nice.
Virginia Madsen.
I love
Chicago's
her.
Chicago native, who seems like she's really behind him, even though she's...
Something's up, though.
The Republican Party, you know?
Right.
But you can just tell.
Yeah. What's this called?
It's called
Designated Survivor,
yeah.
And how many episodes have
just
I missed?
Just two. Last night was the second. But as I was saying to you, I was listening to you on the way in today, and I do feel like this guy, you know, he's going to be taken to task, because the other twist on this is that the president fired him the morning of the terrorist attack.
Mm-hmm.
So
look
he,
at that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's going to be, a lot of people are going to be calling for his resignation and saying he shouldn't be the president. But I really feel he would have made a good candidate this year.
In real life.
in real life.
Vitamin?
Can I tell you a quick sidebar, and then there's other shows to discuss. Cal Penn, who you probably know from the Harold and Kumar movies, and he was also in House for a season, he plays a staffer.
He's a speechwriter, yeah.
He's a speechwriter, and he's kind of constantly being watched because he's of Middle Eastern descent. So they kind of it kind of parallels what's going on in real life pretty nicely. I'm very impressed with the show, and like I said, I thought the episode two was even better than episode
one. Well, last night, you know, they had that whole thing in, was it Michigan? All that stuff happening in Michigan where they're rounding up all the Muslims and everything.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just so, you know, it does speak to what's happening today. Yep.
I will check that out.
I think you'll like it.
Everything you have recommended to me, Bill,
thanks.
By the way, baskets.
Yeah.
And that's coming back soon, I hope.
Well,
there'll be another
year.
Season of baskets. Yeah. Yeah.
It did get renewed, yeah. Oh, and yeah, Designated Survivor got a full season order. Did I say that already?
Oh, already? After
just one or two episodes? It was before the second episode. It got, yeah.
That's a good vote of confidence. Yeah. Good.
So now, do they continue writing, or this is something that they kind of had in the can?
Well, usually how it works is they do, I think they do 9, and then...
hope that it goes beyond that.
But sometimes they get renewed early, you know, so sometimes they don't have to wait until that.
But that's
minute.
A huge vote of confidence to get a full season's order that
And apparently
early.
The ratings actually increased in the second week.
Oh, wow.
Which is also good, because Thursday night's a tough night for television.
Yeah.
For, you know, competition.
And happy hours.
Yeah, there's that.
And happy hours.
There's definitely
which
that.
I haven't participated in like 20 years.
Happy 3 hours.
They used to be fun.
Right, right. Kurt Wagner's here from TVShowPatrol.com. He'll take questions at 312-981-7200, not just about his mustache, but about television as well. Although if there are mustache questions, you'll feel those.
I will attempt to answer.
All right, I hope so.
But as Wendy said, I'm kind of an amateur at this.
That's all right. Don't
I'll
feel bad.
I'll show you how it's done.
Your calls and texts and more television talk with Kurt Wagner of TVShowPatrol.com. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Blackhawks are back. It's a primetime preseason special against the defending Stanley Cup champs, Blackhawks Penguins, tonight at 6:30 on WGN-TV. Go Hawks.
Kurt, Go Hawks is right.
Go Hawks!
Go Hawks, says Kurt and his mustache at the same time. You know Kurt from his website, TVShowPatrol.com.
We have to take a picture
and his new
of us
website,
with him now.
MustachePatrol.com.
We're going to have to do a really good close-up, though.
Think about it, Kurt. No one's got that market. You could corner that market. All right, we're talking about the new TV season. There's a call or two. Are you fielding calls today?
Sure, why not?
All right.
All right, 312-981-7200. That is the exact number that Kevin called. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
I was just wondering if he previewed Westworld yet.
I did, and I liked it.
Oh, good.
It moves a little slowly, and it's a little confusing at first. You really have to pay attention. But I thought the third and fourth episodes were pretty amazing.
And this is HBO?
It's HBO. It starts this Sunday.
This Sunday, Kevin.
Okay, and I was just, if they're going to have robots, how come they won't have one looking like Yul Brynner?
Yeah, how come?
Oh,
that was the best part of Westworld.
They sort of do.
Oh, they
Shall
do?
Shall we dance? Tra-la-la-la.
That was a different movie.
Oh.
That was a different Yul Brynner movie. I'm so looking forward to Westworld.
Yeah, it's really good. Like I said, it moves kind of slowly, but there's so many aspects to it. And I thought the cool thing was actually the sort of... side players who are the scientists and the technicians mm-hmm. for the robots, they have very interesting sort of rivalries and things going on there, and what they think should be happening and mm-hmm. everything. I mean, there's just all kinds of cool little parts to it.
In the movie Westworld, the theme park wasn't just Westworld. They also had Medieval World and Roman World. Is this the same with the...
I've seen the first four, and all there is the Westworld.
All right.
Yeah.
All
but right. It's very cool because it really talks a lot about... Like I think I said this last week, I really noticed how it sort of parallels how we treat each other on social media when we're not in each other's faces and stuff, and how it can really bring out in the humans the... their baser instincts and their meanness and their you know treachery and all that kind of stuff, and they're just so mean to the robots. But it's almost like all done from the robot's perspective, which I also think is cool.
All right, I might have to watch that too.
It looks so good.
Yeah.
Hey,
Anthony Hopkins never does TV.
Oh,
he's one of the stars.
One of the stars, and he's the guy who created Westworld or co-created Westworld. And there's some kind of thing going on where his old partner somehow. You know, they've had a falling out, so there's some kind of weird thing there. But like I said, it starts out slowly, so just be patient.
All right.
But it's good.
I have you never know you say something wrong until at least 12 texts come in that say Designated Survivor is on Wednesday, not Thursday. I don't know that we said that, but honestly, there are 12 texts that
you know what? I watched it.
I watched it yesterday
because I was
on DVR.
Babysitting Wednesday night.
Okay.
It's on Wednesday nights,
not Thursdays.
All right.
12 texts. Not I mean,
bad.
Seriously.
Sorry about that, everybody. I always forget what day almost every show is on.
Way to keep us honest, though.
No, that's true. That's true. There's a new series called Versailles coming out on Saturday, Kurt?
Yes.
Is that one Versailles? What is this? It based on something we should know?
The Frenchies. It's based on King Louis XIV, who...
Why didn't they call it the Frenchies?
Who built Versailles, and it follows his decision. It follows from when he became king, like... He was king since he was 5 years old, but at age 28, his mother died, and so her little governing body that oversaw him sort of split up, and he decided, I'm taking over as king. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be king, and the nobles really fought him on that thing, and so he wanted to get out of Paris so that he could consolidate power, and he made his father's old hunting lodge at Versailles into that grand palace that exists now, and so this follows that story of him doing this, and sort of the key relationship in this is between him and his brother Philippe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very interesting because they love each other and they have each other's backs, but when he's king, Philippe sort of gets pushed to the side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they're brothers behind closed doors, they're brothers, and Philippe can say anything he wants to him. You
like the show? Is it interesting?
Yeah, it's very good. I like that one a lot.
That
and I have
Saturday.
A bunch of interviews on my
on TV Show
Patrol. TVshowpatrol.com okay. about that, with the actors talking about.
Somebody has texted wants to talk about Luke Cage. What's that?
That started today on Netflix, and that is another Marvel comic book adaptation, and it's another good show. It has a few pacing problems, I think. It's a little slow at times, but it's great. Mike Coulter plays Luke Cage, who is this bulletproof strong man
mm-hmm.
type of guy, and it's really interesting. I mean, that's another one that sort of hits on current times with distrust of police and you know, the idea that, you know, it's sort of awesome to see a black man who is bulletproof,
mm-hmm.
you know, and who takes down, you know, in Harlem, in the neighborhood of Harlem, tries to take down all the folks.
And
making
Luke,
it a bad place to live.
Luke Cage is the one that Nicholas Coppola admired and became Nicholas Cage.
Oh, I thought that sounded
familiar.
That's
where he got the name.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
You told that story before.
A former writer for Southland, a show that I really, really loved, Cheo Hadari Coker is the writer and creator of this, the main guy. And I think he just did a great job. There's a lot of great performances. All the characters have... you know, good amount of depth and everything.
Sure.
It's really good. It's really good.
What about this on Sci-Fi? There's a movie called The Crooked Man, which is based on that kid's song.
Yeah.
There was a crooked man.
I have not seen it.
Oh,
but usually the
that.
Sci-fi
walked
movies
a crooked
are sort of
walk
the crooked mile. Is that
oh,
how
yeah,
it goes?
I think it is.
The
yeah.
love of the sci-fi. The thing about the sci-fi movies is they're all sort of B movie level, and
yeah.
so they're fun to watch and enjoy because they're not supposed to be funny. But,
right.
But you laugh.
But they are.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Speaking of laughing, Saturday Night Live premieres this Saturday. The guest is Margot Robbie. The musical guest is The Weeknd. And they've been in the news because they needed somebody new to play Donald Trump.
Alec Baldwin.
And it's going to be Alec Baldwin.
Yeah. And Kate McKinnon, who just won an Emmy
yeah.
is playing Hillary, which
yeah.
she has before.
She's so good.
So that'll probably be the big highlight. That might be the cold opener. It might be actually something bigger. Who knows?
We were trying to figure out why, if you have Daryl Hammond there in-house, why you wouldn't use him to play Donald Trump. He does a great job of it. Why?
Is he still there?
Yeah, he's still
announcer.
The announcer. Yeah.
Maybe they have to pay him more if he participates in a sketch.
Maybe.
Maybe he doesn't want to do it anymore.
I don't believe that for a minute.
And then give us one or two more things this week or weekend that are coming up on TV that we should be watching for.
Well, Shameless comes back. Chicago shot Shameless.
Yeah.
On Showtime, that comes back Sunday night. Oh, no.
That's the one with William H. Macy.
Yeah, William H. Macy's
Love
in
him.
It. And it's about, you know, this family and he's their
slightly
father.
Slightly dysfunctional.
Very dysfunctional.
Whose isn't?
Yeah.
last season, I think it ended with them, with the kids throwing him over the bridge into the Chicago River.
Oh, that's dysfunctional.
And he floated out into the lake and was in the hospital and unconscious for 30 days. And now he wakes up, I think, this season.
Just a family that loves each other, Kurt. What's
well,
wrong with that?
Well, he was the worst dad ever.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's comedy.
Yeah. I know.
Hijinks.
That sounds good, too. Boy,
there's a bunch
is
of
great
good stuff.
Again.
Yeah. Yeah. And, October has a lot of really good
Walking
stuff.
Walking Dead coming back, too.
Walking Dead comes back October 23rd. There's a show on Epix called Berlin Station, which is a spy drama that I think is really good.
Can we take Katie really quick? Because she's not, I know what she's going to talk about, and she's not the only one who does this. This is a big trend. Hey, thank Katie, you. How are you?
Yes, okay. I am. My friends and I, we have parties, and we love Scandal. We're hooked on it like Desperate Housewives. And we're getting irritated because the first was going to be in September, and now they need more time. When is this show going to come on?
Probably January.
Why?
Because
they want you to have more parties, Katie.
Because
no, we're not gonna. We're gonna blackball it. Now we're getting mad.
No, you just have to be patient. She had a kid.
This is
the main actress had a kid.
Kerry Washington.
Kerry Washington had a kid, and
no, she's pregnant, isn't she?
Well, or she's having a kid. Okay, so that's why.
Yeah. Because her character's pregnant on the
show. Yeah, her character can't be pregnant, and I think they were gonna have a hard time doing the pillow thing, hiding behind pillows.
Yeah. Well, that would be a scandal. If they call themselves Scandal, they've got a built-in one.
Right. So, you know, they're just waiting.
Wouldn't that would have been good if she would have got pregnant?
Apparently
the
writers didn't think so.
Let her have her baby, for God's sakes, Katie.
I know, honey. I got six of them.
My God.
Anyway.
You poor thing.
You know, I'm very blessed. I was an only child. I'm so lucky. I had three boys, three girls. Anyway, they filmed so far ahead, they could have, you know, worked a little bit extra into the summer.
No, they don't film that.
Really
network shows, they don't film that far
They don't
ahead.
Do that? No.
They don't film that far
It's
ahead.
Coming back, Katie. I know it seems like a long way
just
off.
Just got to be patient.
January, it'll be here.
You know what? It'll be all the better for having made you wait.
Do you promise?
Yes, sure.
Kurt doesn't lie.
Okay, all right.
Katie,
thank you for calling.
I was desperate Housewives would come back on. I love that show. I love that. All right, you take
care. Thanks, Katie.
Have a great weekend.
Bye-bye.
You don't have any pull in Hollywood with Desperate Housewives?
I do not.
All right.
And I don't think that'll ever come back.
Oh. That's Kurt Wagner. His mustache has never looked better. Kurt's website is TVshowpatrol.com. All kinds of great insights about the world of television. Have a great weekend,
Kurt.
I
have a lot of fun interviews up there right now.
Oh,
if
excellent.
You're into interviews.
Perfect.
We are.
We love them. Thanks, Kurt. We'll take a quick break and then more show ahead. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Ryan, thank you so much. It's Bill Leff. It's an ailing Wendy Snyder. I want to say something, and I hope you don't take this the wrong way. You sneeze funny. You really do.
Sometimes they sneak up on you. Every year, I got married October 25th, 1997.
Happy anniversary.
It will be. Thank you. It'll be 19 years.
Yeah.
And I got sick right before my wedding, a week before. And
bad omen.
I know, because I thought, oh my God, I don't want to be sick for my wedding.
Mm-hmm.
The doctor suggested taking prednisone. I said, no, I just lost tons of weight on Weight Watchers. I'm not going to gain weight for my wedding day. And every year on my anniversary since we got married, I have this sickness.
Are you always sick on your anniversary?
Every year. So then I figured out it is seasonal allergies.
It has to be seasonal allergies.
Because I feel absolutely fine. I'm just a mucus factory.
But that said, let's let that sink in for just a moment.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Lunch. You don't sneeze like anyone else I've ever met in my life. You have a sneeze that it starts big and then it tapers off and then it ends big. You know what I mean?
I sneeze like a normal person. My mom would always sneeze like,
yeah, that's like a weird, like,
50s thing.
Yeah. I think
where they didn't want to be, manly. So they tried to be delicate with their sneezes.
Yeah.
Women.
You see a buildup and then you just hear like that. And you just go, that was a sneeze. Please. That doesn't even count.
No,
you
there was
no
one
for that.
That snuck up on me and I tried to grab a Kleenex in time and it was a weird sound, I'll give you that.
It started big, it tapered off and ended big, and if I may recreate a little bit of it, you went, ah! Like that. Like it was so big, so small, and so big again. And I always think that there's like cheetahs in the studio when I hear something like that. I get scared there's cheetahs.
I love to sneeze. Can I tell you that?
You're very good at it. You're very good.
Thank you.
You're very, very good.
And if you feel the tickle and a sneeze coming on, they say to look at a light and it'll bring it on.
Why would that be?
Don't know the answer to that.
I wonder why that is.
I don't know if there's some connection with your eyes and your nose. I guess it's all connected. I don't know. But next time you're feeling the tickle like you're going to sneeze,
stare directly into a light.
Look at a light and it'll bring it out.
I can't imagine why that would possibly be. I don't know everything about everything, but that doesn't seem like there's any correlation at all. Is it the same person who said when you have the hiccups, you have to drink a glass of water upside down or something?
People swear that works.
I know they do. It doesn't, though. All it does is it gets your mind off the fact that you got the hiccups. And my guess is with the sneezing and the light, it's the same thing, isn't it?
No, because it brings it on.
Yeah.
Reflexive sneezing induced by light and sunlight in particular is estimated to occur in 18 to 35% of the population. It is known as the photic sneeze reflex.
Mm-hmm. Named for Mr. Photic.
One
of the top sneeze researchers that we've ever seen in our lifetimes. I don't know why it's called that.
It does. It seems to be a true thing.
All right. I apologize. But you're every time you do, it's they're all different. Like, a lot of people will have one specific kind of sneeze. Every one of yours is different, but they do start big, get really small, and then end big.
Not all of them.
Not all?
Mine are very different.
Yeah.
I like to have a variety of sneezes.
Yeah, that's the best way to be.
Because the same one.
Boring.
Yeah.
Boring, right. Did you see that Denzel Washington...
I thought you were going to tell us a story.
Oh, should I do that now? Do we have time now? I'll do this now.
Do we have time? It's up to you.
Let me just tell you this. Yesterday at the beginning of the show, and we won't go into great detail because we did yesterday. I just want to explain what happened yesterday. My whole life, there have been a couple guys in baseball that I've wanted to meet, and one of them is Tommy Lasorda, because as I mentioned yesterday, the Los Angeles Dodgers for about 20 some odd years had a man named Walter Alston as their manager, and then Tommy Lasorda, and he was their manager for 20 years. So for 40 something years, two guys managed, and he was
so good.
It is amazing. That doesn't happen anymore. He was really good at what he did, I thought. And I always thought one day I'd love to tell him that. So yesterday he was a guest on the morning show. Steve Cochran is out and Dave and Andrea were filling in, and they had him as a guest. And as I'm driving, I'm like, oh, I wish I was there. I'd love to say hello to him. Well, timing was such that as I was coming in, he was leaving the building. So I approached him. He had a handler with him who kind of told me to back off. You know, he's an older man now, Tommy Lasorda. He's in his late 80s.
And crotchety still.
He's a little crotchety.
He's always been, though. That's nothing new.
I know.
And that's not a bad thing. I don't say that negatively.
Right. Maybe that made him a better manager. Maybe he was so crotchety he wouldn't put up with losing. Right? There's a possibility
of
that.
Makes sense.
So I introduced myself. I said, my name is Bill Leff. I have the show on after this one. My partner has some interesting sneezes. If you're ever in town and nothing to do, you can come by and listen to that. So I said, boy, what a career you had, Tommy, and you look great. And it was all pleasant, and he was happy, and I was happy, and we shook hands, and he seemed to be enjoying himself. And I said, hey, we have a mutual friend in common. And he goes, oh, who's that? And I said, Tom Dreesen. And when I said that, he just started swearing and turning red. And I know his head wasn't spinning around, but it felt like it was. He was so angry at me for bringing up Tom Dreesen's name.
And the handler gave you a look, right?
Like, the handler said, you should not have said that to him. That was the worst thing you could say to him. And that went on for a couple of minutes, and I kept apologizing. And he was mad at me, and he left a little bit disturbed. And I sure did, too. And I didn't know what happened. So Dave Ennett explained to me, the finish was yesterday we had Tom Dreesen on with us. Dean Richards was kind enough to give us Tom's phone number, and we said, we'll talk to you, but you have to be in the shower, and he was. So we talked to him, and all right. So today,
it was all about a jersey and things like that.
Yeah, years ago, almost 25 or 30 years ago, he invited Tom Dreesen into the dugout and gave him a jersey that he had made up for him, a Dodgers jersey that said Dreesen on the back, and then... as it was pointed out yesterday from Tommy Lasorda, and then he goes on Letterman and he's wearing a Cubs jersey and doesn't even acknowledge the nice thing I did for him. He was very angry and swore a lot more than I just did. All right. So
did you swear? Because I didn't swear.
Oh, okay. I didn't swear. So all night long, I'm just laying there going, I can't believe I upset Tommy Lasorda. That was never my goal. The last thing in the world I'd want to do is upset Tommy Lasorda. So Dave Ennett comes into the office today and he goes, hey, what happened yesterday? And I tell him a little bit. And he's laughing really hard. And he goes, now it all makes sense. I go, what makes sense? When he was a guest on the show before they had him on air, Dave brought up Tom Dreesen.
What's wrong with you two?
Nothing. It's just that Tom Dreesen over the years has told stories about the glory days of the Dodgers and how he and Frank Sinatra and a couple of other dignitaries went in. And Lasorda would treat them right, and they'd hang out with all the guys on the Dodgers. But whenever Tom Dreesen told the story, it was always in a positive light, no negativity at all. But on Tommy Lasorda's end, because Tom Dreesen likes the Cubs and not the Dodgers, and Lasorda's got no place for that, you either love the Dodgers or nothing, he's not as accepting of that as the rest of us are. But now it makes sense, because I wasn't the first one to bring up Dreesen. Within a span of a half an hour, two guys came up to him and said, hey, I'm a friend of Tom Dreesen's. And I guess That's not what he wanted to hear.
Did he swear at Dave
no.
when he brought it up?
No, not at all. He saved that for me. How lucky am I?
Well, everybody has been texting saying, let it go, Bill. Let it go.
I was so upset. You saw me yesterday.
It was bothering you.
It bothered me because I didn't want... Like I said, he's a baseball legend. He's in his late 80s. I didn't want him... Like, that's his impression of the city now, is we're the city that comes up to him and brings up Tom Dreesen's name.
You can't talk to any guests from now on. Only on the air.
No, I shouldn't even be able on the air. I'll say something on the air that hurts their feelings.
It's all right, Bill. It's all right.
We've got Will Klinger coming on later. He's got a show on Channel 11. Before he comes on, I'm going to say, just give me a list of 20 names that if I say these people's names, you'll get furious with me.
Will it make you feel better if I get Will Klinger upset? I'll mention a name to get him upset.
Yes. Would you do that for me?
I'll do that for you all and right. then even Steven.
All right. Bring up somebody from Channel 11.
I'll bring up Ben Hollis.
Say that.
Used to do Wild Chicago.
All right. See what happens.
All right.
All right. We'll take a quick break, and then we've got more show for you. So stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. All right. A few minutes ago, we were talking about Wendy's ability to sneeze like no other human on the planet. I don't know how you do it. I don't know if you practice these sneezes, but they're incredible. And then you said that there's a cure for this where you would just stare into a light and you would stop sneezing?
No. It makes you sneeze.
Oh, it makes you sneeze.
Yeah, because you know when you get that little tickle?
Yeah.
You want to sneeze. Plus, they liken a sneeze to an O. Not Oprah.
Do people do?
Because your body tenses up when you sneeze and then there's relief after you're finished. So, quite honestly, I like to sneeze. If you want to know the truth, so you feel
do you
that
sneeze first? Do you let Jim sneeze first, or does it just matter? It doesn't matter. It's none of my business. I take my question back.
You retract it,
yeah,
or redact it.
I'm staring into a light.
Well, you feel a little tickle when you're about ready to sneeze, and they say to look at a light, or preferably the sunlight, and it will make the sneeze happen.
Mm-hmm.
And there is truth to it. 17 to 35% of the population is estimated to be prone to the photic sneeze reflex, PSR, and photic, like photo means light.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a guy's name.
No. And you sneeze when your brain's trigeminal nerve, which is the nerve responsible for your face's sensations and movements.
Mm-hmm. That's the trigeminal nerve.
Yes.
Right.
And when that nerve senses irritants like dust or hair in your nose, the nerve lies close to the optic nerve, which senses vision. So if your optic nerve senses a sudden transition from dim light to bright light, it responds by constricting the eye's pupils. For people affected by this PSR, this photic sneeze reflex, it's believed that this signal gets misinterpreted by your trigeminal nerve, resulting in a sneeze. Individuals sensitive to light-induced sneezing have their parents to thank. This trait is autosomal dominant, meaning it doesn't show up on the X or Y chromosome.
Mm-hmm.
All it takes is one copy of this gene for the trait to be expressed. So if one parent has this PSR,
you will also
50-50
probably.
Chance your child will too.
Oh, half? Okay.
So next time you have the urge to sneeze...
Just stare into a light.
Just look up at a light and see if it brings it on. If not, then you don't have this PSR.
I don't think I've ever heard of this until today. I don't know if I've ever heard of
really?
This. Yeah. Because I usually, if I'm going to sneeze, I just sneeze. There's no, I don't have the ability to do it. Like you seem to be able to control it somehow.
No,
almost.
I don't control it. You can't control it, but I feel the tingly senses.
Yeah.
Before the sneeze. It's kind of like foreplay.
Do you, it is? Are you sure?
You don't know when you're going to sneeze.
You might be doing it wrong. sneezing, I mean. Now, here's what happens to me. You know, we eat out a lot. We go out to eat in restaurants almost constantly. You know this, right?
Yes.
All right. Not every time we eat in a restaurant, but almost every time. When we're done with our meal and we're leaving, I sneeze a couple times. Almost all the time.
Instead of tipping?
No, I still tip. But I tip 15 to 20% and I sneeze 25 to 30%. Why would I sneeze almost every time when I'm leaving? A friend of mine said it must have something to do with the fact that you're going from one controlled area in terms of the temperature to the outside. But
it doesn't happen in your house.
No, it doesn't happen in my house. And I go places all the time. It only happens at dinner. Doesn't happen if we
eat out at lunch. The same restaurant?
All different restaurants.
Do you go from dark to light?
Depending on the time of day, I guess, yeah.
Because that could make you sneeze.
But if I'm anywhere else, like say we're going out to a movie, I don't leave when the movie's done and we're leaving. Or if we're shopping, if I'm in a grocery store or something and I go outside, I don't. It's only when we eat out in a restaurant.
Maybe you're allergic to the dish soap they use. It sounds like an allergy kind of
thing. But it's
all
different. It's like not one particular place. It's almost every place we go. And it's usually two or three, but there have been times where it's been up into the high teens and into the 20s. That's a lot of sneezing. And I'm not sick. I don't have a cold. I don't have any allergies. I don't
17
think.
17 times?
Yeah. I've done it like almost, I don't remember what my exact record is, but I'm sure it's in the Guinness book somewhere. But I'll just, like, as soon as we're done, as soon as we leave the restaurant, my wife will go, oh, here it comes. One, two, three, four. Just keep sneezing.
Maybe you're smelling somebody's perfume. Maybe you don't like your wife's perfume.
I don't think she wears any.
She
pretty
doesn't?
Sure. No, I don't think she does. She
How just, do you think?
She Either just naturally she does. Smells delicious. No Jean Nate for her, thank you.
630 says, my son sneezes three times whenever he first walks out into sunlight. He's 10 years old now. We adopted him from Russia when he was one with very little birth parent information. It will be cool to tell him that he has the sneezing response because one of his birth parents had it.
That could be part of it. And I'm part Russian, too, so maybe there's some tie-in.
Maybe you're allergic to paying the bill, says 708.
No, that's not true. Although, does make sense. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick break. Ryan has the news, and then we'll find out what's on the Wintrust Business Lunch. That's ahead. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. The Wolfman Jack Show, normally heard at this hour, will not be heard today. It's us. It's me and you. Hi.
It gives me the urge to watch American Graffiti tonight.
Yesterday on the show, you divulged that you had made a clock, and I think I probably made fun of you because I didn't think that people made clocks. I just thought if you needed a clock, you go and you buy a clock, but you made one.
Well, I made one because the one I had envisioned, I could not find. So I thought I'll just make it.
Yeah.
And when we had an attorney talking about that clock boy story on, I thought, you know what? I could be clock girl. I made my own clock.
I don't think I know anyone else has ever done that. So
now, this isn't a sundial, right?
No, it's a real clock, Ryan. There's pictures of it.
Is it on our Facebook page
it's on,
already?
Spinning widgets and hands and Mickeys and everything?
No.
It's pretty impressive. You showed it to me this morning.
Really? You have just paid me a compliment?
I
what
did.
Is wrong? Are you feverish?
I don't know anyone else who said, boy, I have a dream in my head of a certain clock and I can't find it.
He's going to clean his clock.
I'm going to make my own clock. Like, if I started today making my own clock, I wouldn't be done by the time I died. People go, it's so sad. Bill's half done with his clock and he died. And it'd be 60 years from now.
And that's kind of ironic that the clock, your time would have run out before
right.
The clock could keep time.
Very symbolic.
Lise, did we put that up on our Facebook page? It's up there now. Bill F. and Wendy Snyder.
In the arts and crafts section of our Facebook page.
See, now you're making fun of me. It really is. I just wanted a weathered looking clock, and I have to be honest with you, I did find some that I enjoyed, but they were hundreds of dollars, and it's a kitchen clock.
Much.
And I think the working clock innards were maybe $4.95 at Michael's Craft Store.
$4.95.
Yeah.
That's it?
And then the craft board that I bought.
Yeah, how
styrofoam,
much was that?
Maybe $3.
So you could make your own clock if you wanted to for under 15 bucks.
I made it for under 10.
That sounds like one of those shows my wife is always watching, TLC or whatever.
Ryan, we only have 50 of these clocks available, so call now. I see the call lines are lit. There's only 50 of these available, so make your calls now. Wendy's clock. That's
so funny.
That's very impressive, seriously.
We were talking about that yesterday after we interviewed that attorney for Clock Boy, and it really never hit me that I made my own clock, and I got a text.
You forgot?
Well, it's...
When I met somebody new, I would tell them that, like
I
right
off
the bat.
I did that for a while, but, I mean, it was years ago.
That's still impressive.
I impress everyone.
That's very impressive.
And at 6:30 this morning, I got a text from my girlfriend, Margo, going... You made a clock?
Yeah.
And text me a picture of it. So then I texted it to Lise as well, and we're going to put it on our Facebook page. I'm proud of my clock.
I didn't mention the fact that you're often late for things, because that should, that doesn't
that
tie
ironic?
In. That doesn't tie in at all, I don't think.
I didn't say the clock worked. It looks good.
We have a clock in our kitchen that we saw. We were on vacation once in a resort town in Michigan, and they had this incredible, it looks like it's from the 1920s or 1930s. You know how they used to do, I don't know how to describe this. It's a clock that is the face of a moon, but it has that 1920s, 1930s kind of a look to it, kind of like an Art Deco-y. No, it's even prior to Art Deco.
I think I know what you mean, actually.
Do you know what I mean? I don't know how to describe this other than if you saw it, you'd say to yourself, that's 1929. It just has that look. So we bought it, and it only worked for a couple of months.
How much was it? Do you have any
idea?
Yeah,
it was a couple hundred bucks. It was almost $200. But it's so cool, and I imagine, I'm sure there's a place we could buy it who would fix it, but it just looks so good.
I could probably fix it.
I bet you could fix it.
Thank you, Bill.
Or maybe we'd have to put a new battery in it. That could also probably make it work.
Oh,
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I don't know why it doesn't work. It just doesn't. But it's so beautiful and so ornate, and it's big. It's a really big clock that even though I've said to my wife, what do we do with this? Because it doesn't work. It's just too beautiful to take down. Even though it's hardly ever correct. Twice a day, actually. Exactly twice a day, it is correct.
Does it?
If you're in the kitchen at 12:18, you've nailed it. It's perfect.
Or at midnight 18.
Yeah, right, yeah, 18 minutes after midnight also.
Does it have a moon face on it?
It's similar. Let the record show that Wendy is showing me a picture of a clock. It is of this style of art, but the one you're showing me is from the side. It's like a crescent moon. Ours is a full moon, and it's head on. It's stunning. I've only seen a couple of clocks in my life that I went, now that's a clock, but it hasn't worked in 15 years.
Well, that's a problem.
That is, it's almost counterproductive to having a clock.
Does it look like a face is on the moon or just the moon?
It looks like a face on the moon. I'm trying to think of how to describe, I know there's a way to describe it better. It just has a dated 1920s look to it. It's even a color of gold that we don't even use anymore. It was like a color of gold they used in the 20s.
Part of the reason I made my own clock, Bill, is because the ones they had for sale, aside from the fact that they were several hundred dollars, they were too big for the spot I had in my kitchen.
You needed a precise size and style.
I could not go bigger than a 16-inch pizza diameter.
Right. And that's the way, for people purchasing a clock, they use pizzas
12-inch,
as a standard.
14, right. 16, and family size clock.
A lot of times when ordering a clock, they'll say, do you want a deep dish clock or a crispy? And you go, well, give me the thin then. I don't care.
I needed
just want
a thin
nice clock.
But yes, the picture will be posted. It's up there now. I am very proud of my clock.
You should
and
be.
I really, for probably a year, maybe even two after I made it, people would come over and I'd go, how do you like the clock I made? But now I've kind of forgotten I made it.
I'm sorry I made fun of it because you told me about it yesterday, and I'm not trying to clock block you, but it's a great clock. I saw this clock this morning, and I'm like, Wendy really knows what she's doing when it comes to building clocks. You should. I'm not saying stop doing this because you're good at this. You're great at this, but I would open up a shop somewhere.
A clock shop?
Yeah, I would definitely do that.
I've got no time for that.
There's your name. You've already named your shop. No time for time.
Yeah, I wanted it to look weathered, so I painted it kind of a gold paint, and then I put black over it, and then I used sandpaper to weather it.
Yeah, it worked.
And I hand-painted the Roman numerals on it.
Got them all in order?
I, V, V, I,
they're all there.
And I had to have Roman numerals. It was very fun. Maybe I'll make a new clock this weekend.
Wouldn't that be nice? You know, people on the show have birthdays. Ryan Burrow's birthday's coming up. You just said to me, it's impossible to buy for Ryan. Make him a clock.
That's not true. There's a lot in that statement that's not true.
Are you fact-checking me?
My birthday's a ways
away. Go to Politico and see if what I just said is true or not.
Well, I will have time this weekend to make another clock. Jim is going to see some show at the Vic Theater tonight.
Yeah. This is the perfect time to be clock building. You can be up all night tinkering.
Is he going to see Coldplay play clocks?
No, that would have been too perfect. Dark Star Orchestra. It's like a Grateful Dead tribute band.
Yeah.
Boy, I know what Jimmy Mack's going to be doing all weekend because then I think we're going to see Ziggy Marley on Sunday night. A lot of weed involved in this weekend. I don't know if it'll be smoked, but it'll be smoked at the concerts.
Right.
Seriously, Grateful Dead and Ziggy Marley?
I want to see the clock he builds. There's only three numbers on this clock.
It'll look like the Salvador Dali clock that's melted.
I know. All right, we'll take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right. Do we have any music?
I thought there was music. There's some music.
We have some music.
Listen to this.
That's music.
Wendy has started building her own clocks. If you need a clock, stop by. We're on Michigan Avenue.
Kevin Richter, our producer, is on his honeymoon. Lise Graham is filling in right now. And thank you for not playing Clocks by Coldplay, because I'm not a fan.
Too predictable.
Or the 60 Minutes theme song.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Or Time Has Come Today by the Chambers Brothers. That would have been time.
For a long time, 60 Minutes was the only show on television that did not have a theme song. Did you know that?
Oh, the stuff you pull out of your brain.
I know some stuff.
Can I tell you something else I'm so proud of you for pulling out of your head?
Sure, what's that?
Many, many years ago when we worked at night at the Loop radio station, we talked to Ziggy Marley.
I remember this. And the same Ziggy Marley you're going to see.
Yeah, Sunday night at the Park West. I cannot wait. I was a huge Bob Marley fan. If I had a girl, her name was going to be Marley. I didn't have a girl.
Yeah.
And we got to talk to him, and he looks just like his dad. He sounds just like his dad. I know there are a lot of Marley siblings.
Yeah.
But he, to me, is my favorite, Ziggy Marley.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked to him, and you asked him a question that I thought was genius.
Well, here's what it is, and I hope people will understand the reference, and if not, we'll play you a little bit of this. But when we were growing up in the late 60s, there was a show on Saturday mornings called The Banana Splits. You had Bingo, you had Flegel, you had Drooper, you had Snorky. They were the Banana Splits. Just crazy animals that got along together and had their own funhouse.
And a band.
And there's a song that is probably the best known of the Banana Splits songs. It's called the Tra-La-La song. And even as a kid, because I would hear that song, and then I would hear one of Bob Marley's songs, this Buffalo Soldier, and I'd say to myself, I think Bob Marley stole this song or part of it from the Banana Splits, because it sounds eerily similar.
And the weird thing you explained, because we, shall we play a little of the Banana Splits first?
We'll
play it in order.
Yeah, the Tra-La-La song? Sure.
All right, a little sample of the Banana Splits.
That's a beautiful song.
I, honest to God, have goosebumps right now.
It's impossible to not bounce back and forth when you hear the Tra-La-La song. It's a great song.
And when did the Banana Splits debut?
Around either 1968 or 1969.
All right. And then a little of the Bob Marley Buffalo Soldier.
Uh-huh. All right, be honest.
Almost identical.
It's almost identical.
1980.
One banana, two banana, three banana, four. I mean, it's the same song. And Bob Marley's a genius. I'm not taking away. But you could tell he was very influenced by the music of Flegel and Snorky, the guys that co-wrote the Banana Split song.
Which I said you were crazy. And you brought this up to Ziggy Marley.
Expecting, by the way, for him to hang up on us. I was sure that he would just go, I don't need this. I don't need you to say my dad stole from the Banana Splits.
But then we said, you asked him, I think I said, while your dad was smoking a big spleef, did he ever have the Banana Splits on in your house in Jamaica? And Ziggy said yes.
Yeah, he remembered that.
And then he giggled. Because
I know.
83 is when Buffalo Soldier was released.
Yeah, quite a ways after the Banana Splits theme, the Tra-La-La song. So if not, I don't want to say stolen, but heavily influenced. Heavily influenced, wouldn't you agree? It has to be.
Yeah, but now I wondered if, you know, everybody's suing everybody for stealing things. Perhaps we've just opened up a big can of worms.
If your attorney's for the Hanna-Barbera Corporation, I'm not trying to create a problem here. I'm just saying both songs are great. They both stand on their own, but you got to admit the similarity is so eerie.
Can we hear it one more time?
Yeah, sure. The Banana Split song? Yeah, I could listen to that all day, by the way.
I know. You have.
I love it. Yeah, I have spent days just listening to this. Yes. Now, on the show, what you're seeing is them in their funhouse playing this, and then they're somehow magically transported to Kings Island Amusement Park, and they're going, they're trying to walk up the slide,
yeah,
and they
that.
Can't walk up the slide. You know,
okay,
you
and now Bob Marley, all Buffalo right. Soldier.
And I think in the video for this, he is also trying to walk up a slide, isn't he? Or
yeah, but for different reasons.
Right.
The energy levels are very different, though,
well,
between the two.
The tempo is different.
It's
so
a
we'll
more
give you
laid
that.
Back. Bob Marley played a more laid back type of music than the Splits.
Get Flegal High, you're going to hear it the same way.
There have been stories about Flegal.
I'm sure.
You saw the behind the music on MTV.
Well, I am looking so forward to seeing Ziggy Marley at the Park West this weekend. And if I see him, Bill, I will bring this up.
Wear a Banana Splits shirt and see what happens.
What?
I'm going
First
with Tommy
all,
Lasorda, so I don't want to create a stir. But, yeah, see what happens there.
Do you have a Banana Splits shirt?
I do, actually.
I should have brought it in. I don't have one. I'm sorry to tell you.
Sometimes one of my daughters will borrow it and wear it, and they've both achieved some great things in their lives, but I'm never more proud of them than when they're wearing the Banana Split shirt that I have. Yeah.
It's a proud papa, that Bill.
Very Luff. Proud, very proud. All right, let's take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, it is Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder, and we have to get some headphones hooked up here because we have guests who need to hear calls and talk to us,
that
Bill.
That makes perfect sense. In the studio with us right now, Will Klinger and Harvey Moshman. They have a new show coming to your Channel 11, Wild Travels. Guys, first of all, congratulations. It's great news. Anytime there's any production being done in Chicago.
Absolutely.
But I know what your track record is. You guys are nothing but professional. And to prove it, you have brought Wendy and myself, you've brought us each mustard. That's the nicest gift we've ever received. Thank
it's
you for that.
It's the least we could do, really.
Thank you for that.
And that's Wild Travels Mustard from the Mustard Museum, for God's sake.
In Wisconsin?
In Middleton, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
The National Mustard Museum.
Talk about the genesis of the show. Where exactly did the idea come from for Wild Travels?
Well, we were pretty bored.
Is that what it is?
Yes. Yeah.
We had a dinner, and I had an idea for a faux travel show, and Harvey was like, why make it a faux? Let's just do... A Wild Chicago thing all over the country.
Yeah.
You go all over the darn nation. And I said, sure, let's make that work. So that was last year. We're now in our second season. Our first Emmy-winning season is in the can.
Awesome.
Midwest Emmy. It's not that big
no,
a deal.
It's
an
big
Emmy.
Deal.
Well,
it's a big deal.
It's a Midwest Emmy. Anyway.
Did
we
you
hit
say
the ground running.
In your acceptance speech, did you go, well, you know, this is just local, but thanks.
Could I have a national now?
No. Do you know how many times we talk on the air about strange places that you've visited with your family on a family trip? Everybody loves this stuff. So mention some of the places you've been. I'm looking at a list, but I want you to say it.
Well, coming up in this weekend's show, we're up at the very, very northern edge of Vermont in a town called Derbyline, where the only public building in the United States that it straddles the border between Canada and Vermont, the Haskell Library.
And Opera House.
And Opera House, yes. Can't forget
that. It's a library and an opera house.
Correct.
Right. And it's right on the border. There's a piece of tape that goes right through the building that if you cross that tape, you're in Canada, man.
Really?
You can defect.
Yes, indeed. And
and check out a book, you know. So it's rare.
So in the opera house, is some of the opera done in English and some in French?
How do they do that?
Yeah,
the library itself is bilingual, as are most things that are
but
in
you
the
know,
area.
It's not,
Canadian.
Harvey, it's not really an opera house. It's more of a music hall. It's a music theater.
Well, back in those days when they built it, it was called opera.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. So, all right, explain this to me, because when you guys did Wild Chicago, of course, as the name would imply, it had to be local, and that's what the budget was set for. Right. But this would imply a much, much bigger budget.
They have their own plane, I bet.
Yeah, you must have your own plane.
Yeah. Wild think. One.
Not so much.
No?
No.
How were you affording to travel?
When we did Wild Chicago at TTW, we were given a fixed amount of money, and if we didn't spend it all in the first 12 episodes, then we could spend it all on the 13th. So we started doing road shows. And our very first one was the Wisconsin Dells, mm-hmm. because who would believe that exists unless you go there?
Mm-hmm. Right, that's true.
So we went all around the country starting. So the idea for Wild Travels really was born of the roadshows of Wild Chicago. And we went as far afield as Tokyo, mm-hmm. actually.
Wow.
That was a gift from the folks at ANA, All Nippon Airways. Thank you very much. They sent us over to Tokyo, and we had to come back with the show, and that one won an Emmy, a Midwest Emmy.
Yeah.
You guys keep qualifying it. Midwest Emmy is still pretty good.
I think the exchange rate is 13 to 1. 13 local Emmys equals one national.
Is that right?
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, yeah. What are the criteria when you're seeking out a place to do an episode or a segment from? What exactly do you use as criteria?
It's got to be outlandish, bizarre, off the beaten track, edgy.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, how about the Hare Krishna Colony and Palace of Gold, which we're also going to this weekend? Hare Krishna, for some reason, the largest colony of Hare Krishna is in the hills of West Virginia.
And that seems odd.
It does seem odd. It's in the middle of nowhere in West Virginia. And darned if they don't have the most amazing gold palace made of pure gold.
Sure.
The thing is incredible. I'm surprised no more people don't know about this. That's just one of the darn places we've been.
So all of those guys you used to see at O'Hare.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's where they're
in West Virginia.
Their home office.
Do you know why they have ponytails?
No.
The ponytails is so Krishna, their god, can jerk them out of the material world.
Oh.
It's a handle for him.
To get him out of the portal or whatever, right?
Right. To get him out of sin.
Like in Poltergeist where they use the rope.
Right.
This would be a ponytail.
Yeah.
Seriously?
I think that's the same reason. Swear to God, that's what it is.
I think that's why Pippi Longstocking also had the two ponytails, I think.
To jerk her out of the material world?
Yeah.
Who knew?
Pretty sure.
Don't know.
I'm almost positive. So do you have to get, you must have clearance in a place like this, the Hare Krishna Palace.
Sure.
You have to get clearance.
You know, we set everything up ahead of time. It's not.
They're big fans of this show.
Are they big fans?
Travels.
They had to be persuaded. Let's just say that.
So they must say to you guys, hey, come on in and film, but we want to say, don't make fun of us during the segment. Does that ever come up?
Well, I approach them, and they take me at my word that we're going to make them look good, and they sign the release, and we shoot the piece.
And the monk in this piece that we interviewed, one of the monks, surprisingly good sense of humor.
Yes.
Really? Yeah.
If you play the clip, I think we brought you a clip, he's laughing right along. I mean, he doesn't take it too seriously either. You'd think they would.
Do we have the clip, please? We do not have it yet. All right.
Hold that thought.
Hold that thought, everybody. Everybody be patient. Right. The clip is coming. All right. So
monks are funny, by the way.
They can be hilarious.
Monks are funny.
Monks are funny.
Have you had any on this show?
No, not yet.
No monks?
We used to do Monk Mondays, and for some reason, it was our lowest rated segment. So we stopped doing
it. Right in the toilet?
Yeah. It worked the first few weeks, and then it just tailed off.
You've run through the entire monk population. And
I think that's it. Did you ask them if they were happy with their portrayal in the movie Airplane? Because there's a couple of Hare Krishnas in Airplane that were.
That might have soured our interview right away.
I guess so. I stayed
away from the Airplane thing.
We tread lightly to start.
And you don't have to be exactly very funny, because some of the stuff is peculiar to us. So we will find it.
Right.
It's not a bad slant on it, but it's a very different one.
It's not as good a piece if I have to be funny, believe me. if I have to bring the funny.
I didn't mean that.
It's trouble. Yeah.
This is all in the upcoming episode. When does this air?
That would be this Saturday at 4:30 p.m. and Sunday at 10:30 p.m. on Channel 11.
WildTravelsTV.com, is that the correct website?
That is it.
Awesome.
It is, and we've got a few more weeks. This is the second airing.
So this is the second run of our 6-show season. And so we have this one plus 3 more.
Yeah.
Can we hear the monk with the sense of humor now?
All right.
Does it need any setup?
Listen to that. No. Yes.
The hills of West Virginia might seem an unlikely place for a Hare Krishna colony, but there it is, New Vrindavan, home to about 200 ponytails and the magnificent Palace of Gold.
Hello.
My name is Vrindavan Das. Very nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Now,
this community is called New Vrindavan. It was named after a holy city in Vrindavan.
This is the temple here.
This is our main temple. And as you can see, we have three different altars, beautiful altars. This man in the middle is Krishna. He's holding a mountain with his finger. So
that's better than the Harlem Globetrotters with a basketball. He's got a mountain.
Yeah, he's holding a mountain. That shows his God. God can hold a mountain with his finger. One of the definitions of God, something beyond our thinking, some infinite, unlimited.
You're saying my head might explode.
Indeed. Our service starts at 5 a.m. in the morning.
I'll have to miss that one. Is there a later one?
Yes, we also have service at 7:30.
Still too early. 12:30, now you're talking.
We have 4:30 just now happening. Then you have 7 in the evening and 8:30 in the evening.
How long does this service actually last?
This service is going to last about 5 minutes.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, 5 minutes.
tell you what, that's better than Catholic Mass.
I think this is good enough to win a national Emmy, I think.
Let's goose it to national.
It has to run nationally first.
Oh, I guess. Yeah, all right. That's the qualifier on that.
By the way, that is our aim. We're looking to get this darn thing on TVs all over the country.
Why can't this be on everywhere? This is this has all that kind of appeal, I would
corporate
think.
Corporate underwriting would think.
Is that what it is?
You got to have money.
All right. Will Klinger's here. Harvey Moshman is here. Their new show is called Wild Travels. It airs on WTTW. You can see it this weekend, Saturday at 4:30 p.m. and then Sunday at noon, the same episode.
10:30.
I'm sorry. At 10:30, I apologize.
That's why I gave you the sheet.
Parts are crossed out. There's arrows. It's hard for me to... All right, so stick around. We have more ahead. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. All right, in studio with us right now. It's Bill and Wendy, by the way. In studio with us are Will Klinger, the star of Wild Travels, and he insists that I say star, and Harvey Moshman, the executive producer of that show. It's on Channel
Local
11.
Local star.
Local star. Not national yet. Not yet. Saturdays at 4:30. And then Sundays, a lot of people think it's at noon, but it's not. It's at 10:30 on Sunday at night.
The old Monty Python time.
Yeah. That's right. That's exactly right.
You have a lot to live up to, Will. Good luck with that.
Also the old Wild Chicago time, 10:30.
Yes. Oh, it was. Yes, yeah. It was. Let's talk Wild Chicago for just a little bit. How many years ago did that come to be? Did you first think
of it? We started in January 89, and we ran until 2003.
That's success, wouldn't you say?
14 years, sure.
That's a pretty
big
good success.
Big fan of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's a good run.
A lifetime.
Yep. And Will, you hosted it for how many of those years?
11. And the first two of those I co-hosted with Laura Meager. And
right.
And then we had a series of guest correspondents that would join
Mindy
me on
Bell
the air.
For a
Mindy
while.
Bell.
Mindy Bell. Yeah. Sarah Vedder.
Yeah.
Denise LaGrasso.
Yep. Talented people, all of them.
Absolutely. You know some of those. You know
so when you have a hit like that, I'm hoping it's easier to go to the people over at Channel 11 and say, hey, remember me? I had that big hit show for you. I got another idea, right?
They answer my calls, yeah.
Good. Good. I'm glad to hear that.
No, they were, I can't speak for them, but I imagine they were glad to have our show on again.
Sure. Yeah. Same kind of camera. There were some.
There's a frog in the studio. Yeah,
there's a duck.
Sorry.
You guys had kind of a patented camera movement, a very herky-jerky camera movement. Does that carry over to Wild Travels?
Well, we used to say that we had nearsighted cameramen, and that was the reason for that. But no, the style is much the same. The cameras are better.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's all a handheld show, and we get in your face occasionally.
There were so many episodes where I'd see Will, he'd be interviewing somebody, and there was a lot of motion, a lot of running. You were very caustic, Will.
I was caustic?
Yeah.
Or the camera was?
Well, you and the combination, I couldn't stand up and watch the show. I would have to sit down with a seatbelt on when the show was on.
Queasy.
But you couldn't look away, right?
Never.
See, that was the point.
Never.
Yeah. Like a train wreck.
I understand you brought another clip. Is this something else that is going to be featured on this weekend?
This coming weekend. The golf ball, the professional golf ball diver by the name of, what's his name?
Jeffrey Bleim. Well, I had read about the golf ball king of Southern Florida in a book, and I went to find him. And he said, buddy, I retired years ago a millionaire. Here's the guy who took over for me, and this guy, Jeffrey Bleim. And they're taking a lot of money to the bank every week after they get out of the
Hundreds of thousands of dollars pulling golf balls, diving into ponds, and
there are so many
balls.
Bad golfers in Florida. People who come down there to vacation and haven't hit a ball in ages.
But where does the money come in? Who's paying them?
Well, there's a huge market in used golf balls.
It's an industry.
I had no idea.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah? Yeah.
Well, you don't golf. I don't either, so I would have no idea.
Okay. But in tennis, like once a ball is used, it's used. You're done with it.
Yeah,
not
but
that
if you only
golf?
Hit a ball once and it goes in the water, all you got to do is clean it off. It's a
brand
so.
New ball. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's run a clip. This is from the golf ball diver episode. And did this one already air? Or is it about
no
to
this weekend?
This weekend.
It's coming up this weekend. Okay.
If you've got the day off in Florida, it's not uncommon to hit the links for a round of golf. And while you may get a sinking feeling when you see your first drive go into the water hazard, there's one guy who couldn't be happier with your shabby shot making.
Hey, you looking for this?
Hey, you're Jeffrey Bleim, well-known golf ball diver.
Yes, I am. How are you today?
You do this for a living, right?
Yes, I do, full-time. I'll go to these courses maybe every 6-8 weeks. I can average 5,000 balls a day. They just keep hitting them in.
A lot of bad golf. You're basically profiting from others' misery, aren't you?
Every day.
What are you dealing with besides murkiness down there?
Weeds, alligators, lots of alligators. I've been bit twice.
Are you competing for golf balls with the gators?
There was one down in Miami that died, and they opened them up, and I think they counted 62 golf balls. In the gator, yeah.
What's the strangest thing you found under the water here?
Loaded gun. I found a lady's left-handed purple bowling ball. That's the weirdest. I find a lot of putters. especially around the 18th hole.
What happens to the balls after you pull them out?
They'll go to a warehouse, and they'll get washed, and they'll get sorted, they'll get graded, they'll get packaged, and they get shipped all over the world. We do about 8 million balls a year.
What's the morning's take?
Well, just in that little pond, there's 300 balls, and the next time they get hit, could be in Ireland, could be in the Bahamas.
Jeffrey, can you spot me a few balls for the rest of my round?
Sure, no problem. I'll get them back.
8 million balls a year?
Isn't that kind
that's
of
insane.
Stunning?
And that's just Central Florida.
Wow.
That's incredible. You know why television is better than real life? Because on television, a guy like Will can walk up to a perfect stranger and say, hey, you're Jeffrey Blime, world-famous golf ball diver, and we just accept that. Yeah. Like, in real life, you couldn't do that, but on TV, we go, oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, he's got a microphone.
Yeah, he must know something.
I love this stuff. You guys have nailed it with the Wild Chicago and now this going all over the world. And honestly, I love going to really quirky places and finding unusual things.
When you take trips, do you go sort of off the beaten track and find, rather than go to the mainstream things, you search out, don't you?
I mean, we look at on the side of the road. So if there's a billboard or something, it's like, yeah, we can make an impromptu stop. I love that stuff.
That's kind of what we do. We find some stuff that way, you know.
May I ask, there's a show coming up, episode 205, October 15th and 16th. Where one of your segments will be the Cypress Cove Nudist Resort.
Ah, yes.
How were you able to film this, shoot this?
Very carefully.
Well, you know, you
well-placed roses.
Some blur? Will there be some blur?
No, actually, public television does not allow the blur.
Oh.
Or at least in our show.
Oh.
So, no, we put volleyballs and floral arrangements in the appropriate places.
A lot of strategery. Yes. Involved.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Will, were you yourself also among the,
Thank
those
goodness,
without clothes?
No.
No, and I'm probably the least likely nudist you'll ever meet. I'm very self-conscious. I asked these women, I interviewed two middle-aged women at one point and said, are you imagining me naked right now? And no, not at all, because that's not part of it. It's really,
right.
It's not a sexual thing. It's more of a freedom thing, you know?
But there's an air of, I mean, I know they're accustomed to it, but there's an air of uncomfortability when you're among them, aren't you, to some extent. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, you try not to
stare. I felt awkward. I felt awkward and overdressed. Yes,
yeah.
Definitely.
There's a guy out in his altogether gardening, and where do you look?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
At the flowers?
He's bending over, gardening. And
Was that one of the more or less exciting of the sequences for you to be a part of?
You know, I always love nudity, as you know.
Sure.
In fact, one of my favorite segments, we could not air. It will never see the airwaves.
Because
it was
why?
A vegan strip club in Portland. Vegan strip club. The women wear no meat. No. They wear no leather thongs. They wear no feathers. They wear no animal products.
Actually.
And there's vegan food served. So this is the only vegan strip club.
Oh, I hate to do this. Yesterday at about this time, Steve Bertrand, who's taken today off, said to us privately, hey, there's a celebrity death in the news. Be ready. And then we thought that it was going to be Agnes Nixon, who was the creator of All My Children. She died. She was in her 90s, but it wasn't. It was somebody else. It was the man who sang or who wrote the Oscar Mayer Wiener song.
Which we don't remember his name, and I feel terrible.
We should remember his name.
Richard Klingfelter.
Trutledge, I believe.
Oh.
Was it Richard Trutledge?
Yeah, I believe so.
He's the man who wrote a bunch of jingles over the years, but probably best known for his, oh, I wish I were an Oscar Mayer Wiener song.
Trutledge, sorry. Trutledge.
That's him. That's the guy, yeah. So yesterday we did a little segment about Agnes Nixon, the creator of All My Children, and several other notable soap operas over the years.
One Life to Live, Guiding Light, and she really kind of pushed the envelope.
Yep.
She had a friend who died of ovarian cancer.
Yep.
And put that into All My Children, was
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
And, you know, they had, they talked about a pap smear and all these things that had never really been talked about before, although they didn't utter the word cancer or hysterectomy. But they still brought some things to the
mm-hmm.
forefront that before that time, no one talked about
True.
On television.
Right. Well, now I hate to be the deliverer of bad news.
She died again?
She did not die again, Wendy. That would be nearly impossible. But another member of the All My Children family has
no.
passed away. Now, I hope I proved yesterday, because I said I watched it almost every day for 15 years. And then I hope I proved myself. I threw out some character backgrounds just to prove I'm not making this up. I really did.
Nobody thinks you're making it up.
I was so crazy in love with the show. Tommy Lasorda, who managed the Dodgers at the time, used to come to my house. The two of us would sit there for an hour, spellbound.
If you mention his name one more time, I'm going to taser you.
So
I don't have a taser.
I wouldn't mind that, actually. Isn't that strange? I welcome that almost. So now we find out, and again, brace yourself if you're an All My Children fan.
I am.
Larkin Molloy has passed away. Larkin was one of the actors who played Travis Montgomery.
Oh.
And I think Erica was married to him twice. She married him.
Travis.
And she married his brother Jackson Montgomery at least once.
Played by?
Walt Willey.
Yes.
From the suburbs here.
Yeah.
He's from here. So he has passed away, Larkin Molloy, if you don't know who he is. And there were a bunch of actors who played Travis Montgomery. They would change Travis's.
Now playing the part of Travis Montgomery.
Almost as often as you're supposed to rotate your tires. Whenever I would go to get my tires rotated, I'd come back and I'd go, that's a different Travis. But I think he may be the most well-known of the wealthy Montgomery brothers. Larkin Molloy, who had roles on several soap operas, including All My Children, has died. This is from a press release on Yahoo. He was 62 years old. Here's a picture of him, Wendy. I'll hold up to you.
Oh, yeah, I totally remember him.
Handsome man. Molloy played AMC's Travis. That's Travis Montgomery. From 1987 to 1998, I'm not positive that's correct. I think that's the years that that character may have been on the show, but I don't know if he played it for 11 years. I could be wrong. Walt Willey, who portrayed his on-screen brother, Jack, or Jackson Montgomery, to those of us purists, on the soap, posted on Facebook Thursday that Molloy has died of complications from a recent heart attack. Young guy.
How old?
Just 62.
Jeez.
Larkin Molloy, this is from Walt Willey, who's a very, very nice man. He plays Jackson Montgomery. He'd come to town for years because in addition to playing the role on All My Children, he also did stand-up comedy. So they'd put him up at Zany's for a couple of nights. Very funny man. Very nice guy. Larkin Molloy welcomed me like a brother when I joined the cast in 1987. We worked together, did appearances together, partied together, vacationed together. He was an actor's actor, spending many years teaching me the craft, and a gentleman in the old world style. We spent many hours together, both on set and off, and truly were Irish brothers from another mother. Tommy, you will be missed. I love you, brother. I'm not sure why he called him Tommy, because his name is not Tommy. I have no idea why he referred to him as Tommy.
Maybe he's mixing him up with his other brother from another mother, which I am so sick of hearing people say.
Yeah, that's
sorry.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
I know
it rhymes.
I just am done with that.
And there's a female version too.
Sister from another mister.
That's it.
Please,
have you heard that?
You telling me how much you hate it, but I've never heard anyone actually use that one.
Yeah, I've heard both.
Yeah, sisters from... No, you're my sister from another mister.
Yeah.
I'm going to start using it.
No, it doesn't work.
Bill, it's you're my good. Sister from another mister.
It's nice of you, but don't say it, because it doesn't make any sense. Larkin also appeared on other daytime soap dramas, including Loving, The Edge of Night, Guiding Light, and As the World Turns. Did you know that I once read for a role on As the World Turns?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, I would have been a big fan of yours. I was a huge As the World Turns fan.
Kim, first of all, thank you for saying that, but if you would have seen my audition, you would have laughed so hard.
What were you going to be, a little kid?
Who was it?
I don't
remember
the name.
The babysitter next door or the dog walker down the street?
No, it was actually, I was still in college. No, I must have just graduated. I had just graduated. And they brought me in, and it was all really handsome guys and me. So I knew right off the bat.
You're a handsome
guess
guy.
Guess who's not going to get this part?
All right. First of all, you're a handsome guy. But I will tell you this. The soap opera guys, like the soap opera women, are more glamorous than just the usual person.
Right. Right. Well, everybody in that audition, there were six other guys and me. They were all flawless looking, and I have at least one flaw, maybe more than one flaw. No, I do.
You don't.
I do. And the casting agent, and now that I think about it, well, I thought about it at the time, but I've since forgotten. She kept saying, she goes, okay, could you read that again, but this time do it seriously. She kept saying that.
Uh-oh, that's a bad
sign.
So
I knew that meant I'm done. She goes, try it again, but this time a little more serious. All right, I could try that. And then she'd also say this. She'd go, why don't you unbutton another button? And I'd go, okay, I could do that, I guess. So I'd unbutton it, and then I'd read it more seriously. And she'd go, let's try it this time.
And take your pants off.
Yeah, take your pants off. Isn't it hot in here? She'd, Ooh, it's hot in here. I thought that was my acting. I was never, you know, when you audition for stuff, sometimes you get a feeling, hey, you know what? I think I got this. There was like no way in the world.
Why didn't you just walk out?
There's no way.
I've never auditioned for anything, so I don't know what it's like. I like hearing these behind the scenes stories. Did you have to sit on someone's couch?
No, there was no couches involved. But I said to her, I go, could I also, like when the audition was over and I knew I didn't get it, I said, could I also play my own evil twin? And she goes, yeah, if you get the part, you could also play your evil twin. It was so, like, honestly, from the first minute I walked in there, you see these guys in the front that all look like models and then me.
I don't remember that show very well. Kim, do you remember any of the Studley characters? There was a Snyder in there, Holden Snyder.
Oh, yeah. You know, Meg Ryan was on As the World.
Oh, yeah. That's where she got her start.
Yeah, that's where she started.
And I think Tom Berenger, too, I think. Does that sound right? Do you remember him on there?
No.
I thought Tom Berenger. Maybe I'm wrong. But yeah,
there were, you know, I was all the CBS soaps. So Young and the Restless, Guiding Light. My gosh.
Isn't it hard to believe they had each of the networks had a full slate of those shows, and now there's only like one or two left.
I still love them. I never watch them anymore, but I love them.
But it's just nice to know they're there, isn't it?
Are they still on?
Oh, yeah. Young and the Restless, I know, is on. And what?
One Life to Live is still on.
What else? I think that's it.
You know what happened with All My Children? I watched it every day for 15 years, and then I went like 12 years without watching a single episode, and then one day it was just on, and I was all caught up, like 12 years worth. I'm like, okay, that guy died, that guy married her, and then she became a doctor. Okay.
Yeah, and as long as Victor and Nikki are still on The Young and the Restless, you know that it's, you know,
it's the same.
It's got star power. Right? Yeah. It's exactly the staying power.
Victor's
exactly
the guy with the
same.
Big honking mustache?
Yeah.
Is that the role you were going for?
Yeah.
With the big honking mustache?
Yeah.
Did you wear a fake one and glasses?
Yeah.
No wonder you didn't get the part. I just have to tell you on IMDb, Internet Movie Data Bill, it says the storyline for As the World Turns, you have to listen to this.
All right.
Set in the fictional town of Oakdale, this long-running serial focuses on the relationships and difficulties of its inhabitants.
Oh.
Couldn't that be used?
It's every one of them.
Every single one. Just
sure.
Pine Valley.
Port Charles.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't believe that's
it's the
storyline.
Right.
Like we have
like
to
somebody
be...
go, that's an interesting twist on an old plot line. Yeah, all right, let's try that for a little while.
Crazy.
Yep.
Sorry you didn't get it.
I am too.
Kim would have watched you.
Me too. I would have had your poster in my room.
Oh, that is scary.
Seriously, it is. It's really scary.
I can't unthink that.
Yep. All right, we'll take a quick break and then more show, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Welcome back, hockey.
Oh, we've missed you.
We missed you, hockey.
No football to watch.
No football in sight, Wendy.
And no baseball for me.
There is still baseball going on in town.
Not for me.
Just not for you. Earlier in the show, I said something, and then we switched gears, and I just want to finish my thought. I said, because if I heard this, I'd say, well, you have to explain that. You can't just say that. Please explain this. Denzel Washington has strangled Aretha Franklin.
What?
Here's what it means. I know, it's cryptic, isn't it? A Manhattan man named Denzel Washington, not the Denzel that we all know and love, but a man whose name is also Denzel Washington. Although at 20, his mom and dad must have known what they were doing. Denzel Washington was always already an established movie star.
Well, that's why they did it.
They must have done it that way.
The mom or the dad had a crush on Denzel.
Well, he then took matters into his own hands because he strangled his mom, whose name is Aretha Franklin. The altercation...
You're making this up.
It's on the internet.
Are you auditioning now for SNL Weekend Update?
No, I'm still hoping that the As the World Turns people realize their mistake and that they call me.
And to be a newscaster on their soap opera?
Yes, yes. The altercation happened inside the mom's apartment in a doorman building on West 93rd Street.
It means a building with a doorman.
Is that what it means? All right. Not a building inhabited only by doormen.
No.
I am informed by Aretha Franklin, the complaint says, that she has observed the defendant place his hands around her neck and then apply pressure, thereby causing redness, bruising, and a substantial pain to her neck, read the deposition. The American Gangster star's namesake copped a plea to harassment as a violation and was sentenced to a conditional discharge on an anger management program. In an odd coincidence, Denzel Washington, the actor, age 61, by the way.
He looks good.
He looks very good for 61. He looks good. You name a number.
Good for 51.
41. 31. 81. The guy looks good. He is currently starring in a remake of the 1960 gunslinger classic, The Magnificent Seven, and is a close friend of the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin. He helped her celebrate her 72nd birthday at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel.
By strangling her.
You made that part up. That doesn't say that. Denzel from Manhattan, meanwhile, has another open case for trespassing into his mom's building. The victim, 52, does not appear to be related to the soul legend's namesake, who's won more than a dozen Grammy Awards.
Which we talked about her yesterday, too.
Her name came up yesterday.
That's really weird.
How could one family have two people in it named both Aretha Franklin and Denzel Washington?
Wonder what the husband's name was.
Does not say.
Burt Parks.
Burt Parks cannot be reached for comment.
As the first thing I thought of, that was very lame.
It's not bad. It's not bad. One other, I don't know if this counts as celebrity news. Remember this guy, Martin Scorsese?
He's the guy who raised that medication that you would use for HIV patients to millions of dollars. Didn't he raise it like 5,000% or something
like that? Yeah, there was some medicine that was already fairly expensive, but your average family, if needed it, could afford it.
And then after he raised the price,
skyrocketed,
they
and everybody in the world got mad at Martin Scorsese. Well, they had an auction, and the winner could punch him in the face. And he was on board with this.
He really was?
He was fine with this.
Did he get the money? Is that why he was fine with this?
I think he may have gotten a cut of the money. A woman in Florida has pledged $50,000 to punch Martin Scorsese in the face.
You're making all these stories up.
I'm not making them all up. Most of these are true. All of them are true. They were on the internet. The infamous pharmaceutical CEO auctioned off, so he is in on this, auctioned off the chance for some lucky hater to punch or slap him in the puss this week.
Bill.
I'd punch him. Wouldn't you? For $50,000, a slap would be one thing, but I'd be like, oh no, for that kind of money, I'm decking him.
You got to
go
punch.
I'm popping him. Go punch.
But I don't have $50,000 to be doling
out.
You
do a startup page. You do a GoFundMe page.
You know what?
Everybody wants to punch this guy.
You're right. I bet you'd get the money in about 2 minutes.
But then I wouldn't want to do it. If I had that kind of capital, I'd go, who throws the meanest punch? I'd get like a prize fighter or something. Get some guy who's a professional boxer to punch him.
I'd get Michael Rooker to punch him.
That's a good idea.
Isn't it?
That is a great idea.
And he'd do it.
I know he would do it. Scorsese's goal is to raise money for the family of Mike Kulich, his former PR consultant who died in his sleep. Oh, I hate hearing him do something nice. When I think of Martin Scorsese, I think this guy's just pure evil. I don't like him doing something nice. The punch gimmick is also a personal tribute to Kulich, whose stock in trade was masterminding outlandish PR stunts for his clients, many of whom, Wendy, it says here, were in the porn industry.
Are you making this part up?
No, this part's also legit. Scorsese, a.k.a. the Pharma Bro, that's his fun nickname.
Did he give it to himself, self-imposed?
Doesn't it sound like something he'd
make
up?
Hey, I'm the Pharma Bro.
You know me. I'm the Pharma Bro. Claimed he received bids as high as $78,000, but the final winning bid on Wednesday was $50,000 from a woman in Florida known only as Katie. Now, the story takes a sad twist. The woman who won, this woman Katie, now says she is not going to punch him. She's reneging on the deal. She will not pledge the $50,000 that she had originally said she would.
I got a great replacement.
Who would it be?
Denzel Washington.
Denzel Washington.
The earlier story.
Yeah. Yes, not the famous Denzel Washington, but the one from the other story. All right, good thinking.
It's a nice little
hug. Everybody wins. All right, we'll take a quick break. Kim has the news, and then there's more show coming your way. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill F., and it's Wendy Snyder. And over the last couple of months, you know this.
You've been obsessed with clown stories.
I don't know what's going on, but all over the country now, people have taken it upon themselves to dress up like clowns and then just walk around at night. Even it happened in England. Remember, there was a story a couple of months ago, 2 months ago. Some guy was doing it near London. I saw a story yesterday that now in 14 states, they're having clown problems.
What's the big event coming up? Is there some clown college event or something? Because
well, the election's in November.
Good point.
I can't think of a more clown-based event than that. Can you?
No, but who would be the candidate that the clown is
endorsing?
Yes.
No matter who I say, we'll get angry calls.
I know.
So I don't know. I have no idea. It's gotten out of hand. Like I said, the story yesterday said that in 14 states right now, they're having clown issues, that things are happening with clowns that law enforcement is not pleased with. Listen to this. This is out of USA Today. Today. This is in Ohio.
It's a very good day.
Reading, Ohio.
Is it pronounced Reading, like Reading Railroad?
You know,
maybe?
Let's go with Reading because...
Can we lose this music or do you want it?
I think it adds a nice air of, of uncomfortability. Doesn't it?
I guess.
Even if I heard this at night, if I was sleeping and I woke up and I heard this outside, I'd pray it was a nightmare.
It
would be a nightmare. Reading, Ohio. It says a town that many people call Reading, but is actually pronounced Reading, is having a problem with clowns, Wendy. Reading schools are closed today.
No reading at Reading schools.
Right. But the nearby towns of Writing and Arithmetic will remain open.
Yeah, it's a Friday, people. Okay, whatever.
Yep.
This is a true story. We're trying to warn you. Beware of clowns.
Reading, Ohio schools are closed today after a woman reported being attacked by a male dressed as a clown. Now, that's not funny. She was attacked.
Now, in all these cases you've mentioned before, no one has been attacked. It's just kind of an eerie look or they're in the background.
Right.
There has been no clown attacks until now.
Now it's getting serious.
All right,
now
well,
there are clown
scary.
Attacks.
What did he do?
Well, it's coming. The woman told police that the attacker made a threat against students. No arrests have been made in the attack.
Bill, they have arrested two people.
Oh, they did?
Ohio today. Yeah, just about an hour ago.
Update to your clown story.
Yeah, there you go.
I bet
you're on it.
The police lineup would be interesting, wouldn't it? Because you'd have five or six guys of various heights.
I can't remember if it was a purple striped outfit. Right. Or a blue and green polka dot one.
Or try these shoes on if they fit.
Yeah.
You're the one.
Doodles, could you turn to the left, please? Doodles, just a little to the left. That's fine, Doodles. Thank you. Was it Doodles, ma'am? No, it was not Doodles.
So they were... Someone was attacked, and they have apprehended the clowns in question?
Now the clown, according to Kim, this is in the newsroom, in the WGN newsroom, the clowns have been apprehended.
See, thank God she joins in the conversation as it's happening.
I know.
Or we would have outdated information.
That's why we're ready to join the conversation
live. As it changes.
Awesome.
As it changes. Coleraine Township arrested a juvenile in connection with a clown threat in the same area last Thursday.
Did he threaten to punch him?
I'm having a hard time reading the phrase clown threat because even that seems so foreign to me.
What about person dressed as a clown threat?
That I'm okay with.
All right, good to
we
know.
Should again. We need to make the distinction between clowns and people dressed as clowns because every time one of these stories comes down over the wire, they make it a point of saying whether it is in fact a clown or just a guy dressed as a clown. But I don't know what the difference is. To me, if you're dressed like a clown, you're a clown, aren't you? There's no you don't
well,
need certification.
Some people just have loud clothes and no makeup.
Right.
So there is a distinction, I guess.
I don't know. If I see a guy dressed like a clown, I yell to myself, well, there's a clown right over there. I wouldn't go, oh, no, it's a guy dressed like a clown. It's a clown, right?
Yeah,
I don't know what the difference
is.
I don't know what it is. Police said that the suspect had threatened to harm students at the Coleraine High School on Friday. That's why they canceled classes. The suspect used the current clown trend to further terrorize parents and students. And has been charged with making terrorist threats and inducing panic. This according to police in their Facebook post. Police are now taking to Facebook to make these
announcements.
It used to be they would call the press in, but now they go, well, look on Facebook. We'll tell you what you need to know. Both of these charges, that's making terrorist threats and inducing panic, are felonies. Police did not reveal the name or the age of the suspect. But I'm guessing there's only one name. Aren't you? Because most clowns...
They don't have two names.
Right.
Clara Bell, I guess.
Well, maybe. Earlier in the day, police said posts on Twitter from an account called the Clown Clan. The Clown Clan. Were causing annoyance and alarming to communities. It is not clear if the arrest today was connected to these previous tweets. Tweets from the account have been mentioned, have mentioned several greater Cincinnati communities and schools. So now it's getting serious. It was scary when it was just a clown walking around at night and people would see him and they would be afraid, but now there's threats involved. That's too much.
Their creepy clown hoaxes have led to 12 arrests in multiple states. Now, I know...
Now, I read 14 yesterday, but even 12... I mean, seriously, think about this. How does that happen? How did that many states just have a clown issue at one time?
That's what I'm saying. There has to... Is there a new Killer Clowns from Outer Space movie coming up?
Not that I know of.
You've done these stories for the last few days, and I'm like, all right, enough. Cram it, Clowny. This is enough with this story.
I know.
But it's seriously happening, and then the school was on a lockdown because of this clown.
Yep.
And one clown has been arrested.
Yes.
This is freaky, Bill.
Yep. I know.
Ann wants to jump in here. Hi, Ann. How are you?
I'm fine. There are real professional clowns. I happen to know one. They go all over the world. They have performances. They have competitions. They have events. There's particularly a huge, huge one in China every year.
We had someone from the Clown College here, two people.
Yep.
And seeing them without their makeup, I really enjoyed them. They were nice people. And then remember they went and put their makeup on and I couldn't look at them.
I do remember that. It just weirded
me out. But I know...
Well, you know, there's different kinds of outfits. And this particular one I know doesn't do terribly strange outfits, but he does wonderful tricks.
Yeah.
And, I mean, because some... I'm sorry, the expression idiot puts on makeup because they don't want anybody to know who they are. Doesn't make them a clown. It just makes them somebody in costume.
Dressed as a clown. That's the difference.
All right. Because I couldn't discern.
They didn't go to clown college.
I guess that's what
it is. Yeah, well, they're real. I mean, they are. It's a real profession, and they make real money.
And they do really good things for, I know kids.
And they do really good things.
I know.
Yeah, they do a lot of fundraisers. They do a lot of that kind of thing. And they're wonderful with in hospitals with children and that kind of thing. They do a lot of that kind of stuff in addition to, some of them make a pretty good living.
Well, this is making the whole clown congregation, it's going to make them look bad because these are bad clowns out there.
I know. And I think probably if you just refer to them as people dressed as clowns,
that differentiates from
the fact that they are a clown, because a clown is it's not really an easy profession because you have to have some shtick with it, you know.
Sure. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Bill just has the shtick. He doesn't have the makeup.
That's the right.
Well, you know, you can work on him with that.
All right. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Ann. Appreciate it.
Okay.
She is calling to say, because you keep going, what is the difference between a clown and someone dressed as a clown? She's saying there is a difference.
But you know
what I mean?
If you look across the street and there's a guy wearing, you know, the white makeup and the painted smile and a little baby hat and a, you know, like you wouldn't say,
baby hat.
Well, you've seen, sometimes they wear those
I know
hats.
What you mean.
They're like
Anna Beesey on Oz.
Yeah.
He had that little hat.
Yeah. All right, so there's a, let's say that guy I just described is across the street. You wouldn't
go, look, there's a clown.
Right. You wouldn't say, oh, there's a guy dressed like a clown. You would go, there's a clown across the street, right?
I guess.
No, believe me, Ann, and anybody else who has friends or family that are clowns, I understand that it is a profession and that you make money doing it, but to the naked eye, if somebody
to
was...
To the untrained eye, let's say that.
In any of these cases, in these 12 or 14 states where you look out, you hear something in your yard and you look outside, you just peer out your window and there's a guy walking down the alley, you would say, there's a clown. What's up? There's a clown in the alley. You wouldn't go, honey, wake up. There's a guy dressed like a clown in the alley. You would just assume it's a clown, wouldn't you?
I guess.
Right?
I don't care anymore. I just want to go see Ziggy Marley.
All right,
on Sunday
that's
night.
Fine. All right. Let's take a quick break, and then there's more show. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll get to you in a little bit. We're at 312-981-7200. That's all ahead on WGN.
Someone says we need a clown consortium to solve these cases of the clowns, and now one has attacked someone in Reading, Ohio.
It's gotten out of hand, Wendy. People have their thoughts on this at 312-981-7200.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Wendy, you guys are great. I enjoy you every day.
You're very nice. Thank you.
Yeah, I got a little story. Local town, 35 miles south of the city, Crown Point. My buddy comes into work Wednesday and says, "You're not going to believe it. My daughter lives a block away. She calls my wife crying. There's a crazy clown that approached her while she was standing in the garage. She closed the door, started crying, called her mother. Her mother jumped in the car, ran over, found the guy, an 18-year-old. She found out later, which is on drugs, walking around, just tormenting people. And when she approached him, she told him to take the mask off. He used foul language. He flashed his hand like he had a gun, but it was his hand.
That is a mean clown.
And they called the police, and they came and said, "Go away, we'll deal with it." But it was just a local 18-year-old who's known to be on drugs, and he just thought he'd get in on a bandwagon and freak people out.
That's Dopo the Clown, Wendy.
Now, was this a copycat clown?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because of all these. See, that's what happens.
Is that what it is?
You've started this, Bill. You started reporting on these clown sightings, and now everybody's trying to jump in on the little car.
In their little bandwagon.
Yeah.
Their little clown bandwagon. So he was dressed
in. Yeah, what you're talking about, hit home. I'm, south of the city, safe little town, and yeah, it's happening there.
And he was dressed in full clown regalia. Everything that a clown would wear, he wore.
Yes, and he was very mean.
Oh.
God. Well, I'm sorry your daughter had to go through that.
All right. Keep up the good work.
All right. Thank
Jeff,
you very much.
Have a great weekend.
I don't know if you ever rebound from that, do you?
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't.
Jim, you had a clown sighting?
Yes. But before, I got to just tell you, I'm 63 years old. I'm deathly afraid of clowns because of my brothers. And I didn't even go to Bozo when I was nine.
Wait, why? Because of your brothers?
I was very young. We used to live. We used to have our bedrooms up in the second floor of the house.
Mm-hmm.
I was the smallest.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd get up and I'd run into the bathroom usually around 10 o'clock every night because I had to go make pee.
All right, Jim. Whatever.
Thank you.
Pee-pee the clown checking in. What?
Those big square flashlights.
Yes.
All right, they put that in the toilet with a rubber clown mask over it.
Oh, no.
So it was glowing?
I ran into the bathroom, I lifted up the lid, and I saw this glowing clown face, and I wet my pants.
Oh.
That's when you try and get it in the clown's mouth.
You win a stuffed animal if you do.
Yeah. Jim, sorry that happened to you.
But my niece has a clown sighting in Cary.
Cary, Illinois.
They found it. It stands on various corners. And then when they go around the block to see if it's there, it's gone. And one time it was in a cornfield.
Uh-huh.
And then at another time, it was riding around on like a little scooter thing.
That's what they do. Part of their MO, yeah.
But this is like, 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night. And some people have said they've seen it later. And they called the police. And the police were like, not doing anything, we can't exactly arrest it.
Jim, that's why Wendy and I have been calling for a clown curfew. There needs to be a curfew for these clowns. They can't be out after 8 o'clock.
All right, well, Jim, good luck in Cary, Illinois. And finally, Gary is on the line. Gary, what's wrong with you?
Nothing. It's a lot of fun. I've got an evil clown mask, and I've got a really fun-looking clown with red, really red curly hair. They're both full head. And you could put a hat over them or whatever, dress up in a long coat, and just stand there, and people freak out. They won't even come up to you. So for some reason, it's not funny, It's funny to me, but it's not funny to other people. You just have to hide, like, by a fence or just stand still. There's a guy with a black and gray outfit, and he carries black balloons. He's a competitor of mine. You ever heard of him?
Sure, of course we have. Is this a friendly competition, or are you at odds? Is he ruining business for you?
I don't know him, but I know of him.
All right.
And
where's your location?
If people want to see you.
Not exactly, but what's the general vicinity?
In the town of Franklin Park, you can see me. It might even be on a bicycle.
All right. We will.
Just riding by a person's house and just looking at them. They'll look out the, you know, they see you and like, oh, they're going to report a clown. It's not Halloween and there's a person in a clown outfit and it's, oh, the police. Yeah, that one guy said, yeah, they'll call the police on you if it's not Halloween. You're in a clown outfit. I don't know why. It's like terrorism of funny terrorism, I guess.
It's funny terrorism, Wendy.
Terrorism is not funny.
No, but it's not against the law to go around in a clown mask and, you know, people drive in the car with them. It's not against the law to drive with no shoes on your feet and you can have a clown mask.
This is America, Wendy.
I guess.
Yeah.
Gary, honestly, please just tell us what you get out of this.
Just a lot of laughs. And it scares people.
Success.
Yeah. It's Halloween year round over here. Franklin Park, you'll see me.
All right, we'll look for you.
We'll look for you this weekend, Gary. Put on some waterproof makeup. It's supposed to rain. Thank you for calling.
It's not illegal. He's right, but it is. It
immoral.
Could be. It's immoral. It's petrifying to the good people of Franklin Park.
All right, that's been your clown.
The clown alert update. Yeah. Yep. Be very careful out there this weekend. We'll take a quick break. We'll find out what Roe and Anna have next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.